morning, Chair.
Hello.
I missed the committee a lot last week, so I'm happy to be back. I was attending the SADC youth endeavor, which looked at sexual rights and reproduction. It was very interesting. And I just want to let the committee know that Honorable Mpiti and Ngobo is just running a bit late, but they are on their way.
I was very scared. I thought maybe even my son, that my two sons, they've resigned. You know? I was very worried. That's why I was asking you when you came in. You know, we can't lose people who are very valuable. Honorable members, I declare the meeting officially opened. I see new faces that I'm not familiar with. But I think the other young lady I know from PMG, ne?
Yes, ma'am.
But I forgot the name.
It's Zezetu, ma'am. Zezetu.
Oh, Zezetu.
Yes.
Okay. And then the lady next to you?
This is a new colleague.
Yes, yeah, she must introduce herself because we don't know her.
My name is Gidweza.
Your mic is not on.
My name is Dudueta. My name is Dudueta.
From?
I am a new colleague at PMG.
Okay. Okay, you're welcome. She will tell you the rules of our meetings, that you don't write what you want. You write what we say. And then, honorable members, over the weekend, I think you have seen the issue of gender-based violence. It's like it's escalating every day, and it's worrisome. That the more we make our, we talk about it, and there's a willingness by government to address it, it's like somebody is sitting somewhere to say, you know, let me spite them and make this thing to be more and more every day, which is worrisome. Last week, I sent out a statement on behalf of the committee regarding the Bishop High School, it's a high school, Bishop High School issue, where the teacher, one of the teachers is sleeping with the boys. It is alleged that one of the teachers is sleeping with the boys. It was one boy at first, but after that one boy came out and talked about this thing, the other boys were also coming out. So we have sent out a statement, but also we are going to have a meeting with the portfolio committee of education, higher education, and basic education, so that we can talk about the safety of our children in the schools. Because you can see that now, you know, if our children are not safe at schools, people who are supposed to be protecting them, they are the ones who are doing all these things over our children. So that's not acceptable at all. As parents and as members, we can't allow it to happen in our schools. So we'll inform you in due course on when are we going to have a joint meeting with the two portfolio committees. But also I was informed by the MEC of Safety and Community Safety of Gauteng that over the weekend there was a two-year-old who was raped, yes, by the father. And then she was also in Gauteng, and so she was also dealing about that issue over the weekend. You know, these things, it's like they are demonic and satanic. Because a normal man can't do those things. So you can see that it's like somebody somewhere is sitting, and it's just a bad spirit. You know, it's very evil. And you know, every day when you sleep, you get worried, Guti, I wonder am I going to hear tomorrow. So, and as honorable members, I think really we must do something. In Ekuruleni also there was one Honorable Mugweba knows, we were informed in a corner that there was a child that was raped. In Limpopo, they said there was a six-year-old girl who was also even killed. That one was raped and killed, you know, by a stepfather. You know, these things are too much. They are too much. What we need to do, I'm sure also, we need to meet urgently with ECGE and the department so that, you know, we must fast track these issues on how do we deal with these issues. Really, it's something that we can no longer talk about. It's something that needs action. You know, the president was here in parliament talking about these things, how must we deal with them, and it's like people, the more government is intervening on these matters, is like people are doing it more and more every day. But also, I think the other part that needs, the other department that needs to fast track ama cases is the Department of Justice. Which I think it's high time that they allocate magistrates or judges that will deal with the cases, the GBV and GBVF, as fast as they can, because it's like most of the cases are being prolonged, and at the end of the day, those cases, they ended up being dismissed by courts because of lack of evidence. But you know, over the weekend, I've learned something that shocked me, that the issue of DNA test kits. I was told by the MEC of Community Safety in Gauteng that she went to do oversight, and when she went to check in some of the police stations, in one police station in Nazia, when she got there, she was looking for those DNA test kits, and she was told that no, they had to apply to I don't know where for them to get those DNA test kits. And I was shocked that how, what is the process? My understanding was that DNA test kits are being distributed to all police stations. The issue of application, Mina, I was thinking that it's when they make a requisition. You know, the supply chain office, when they make requisitions, they are the ones who must place orders. But now, according to what she was telling me, it was a different story. So what I would like our researchers to do is to check with the portfolio committee on police, what is the process of ordering AMA DNA test kits, rape kits, yes. Because if it's like that the people must, police stations must apply, then it's another thing. Because if there's another process that they need to do, that means our women will be faced with many challenges when they go to open cases at the police stations. So it is our responsibility to see to it that that issue is being addressed with speed. So with those few words, I declare this meeting officially opened. And I'm happy that Honorable Mpiti and Honorable Ngobo, they have been resigned. I'm happy because he's here. Honorable Ngobo is here. And Honorable Sheriff, last week we were informed that you are representing us in the African, SADC, ne? Is it SADC? In SADC. It was yourself and Honorable Kolani who represented us there, because and Itumele. Yeah, we'll give you an opportunity to just brief us after we have done with our reports and what we discuss, issues that we're discussing there, because it's an advantage for us that at least one member of our portfolio committee was there. And then last week we have dealt with our report. We have made amendments, and today we are supposed to check if whether all the things that we said they must be included in our report, they are included. And if there are other things that members still feel that maybe they need to be included in the report, we can also do that. The issue FNYDA, I told you, Ms. Lastic, that they gave me a letter that the portfolio committee must deal with it. But what I have requested to the chair of chairs is that there are four posts that we are supposed to fill now, which are vacant, and the other three are expiring next year. But for us to save resources and time, so the best way to deal with them is to fill all seven, so that the other three that are expiring next year, May, we are not going to start another process. So what we are going to do is to advertise all of them. I've written a letter to the chair of chairs that we better fill them once, so that when that time expires in May, there's no need for us to re-advertise. The people will start immediately on the 1st of June. So that committee, NYDA, will not be having challenges like now. So like now, you see, they are no longer forming a quorum. They are short of four members. So, and next year, if we fill them now, immediately when the term lapses on the 31st of May, on the 1st of June, those people will be starting. So members of the NYDA, whose term of office has not ended, they are also free to apply if they still have interest. I think that's what we agreed upon, honorable members, so that I must not talk alone and you don't respond. I think we said that will be wise for us. So I've done that work as requested. So we'll hear from the chair of chairs and the speaker today or tomorrow on whether they have approved it or what. But we'll have to start with the process very soon. Because, you know, when you fill posts, it's a long process. Those adverts, you must advertise, you must screen people, you must verify qualifications, and it's a lot. It's a lot of work to be done. So it's not just something that you wake up today. You must also think of your criteria. You must also read the act and all those things. It's a lot of preparation that is done. So I think those are the things that we are going to focus on moving forward. But today we are going to deal with our report. I'm sure I can hand over to you, honorable members, if you want to make some comments, and then go straight to our report. Honorable Sheriff.
Thank you, Chair. Before leaving for the Indaba, I also did a couple of oversight visits to police stations in Soweto, and we found that red kits have also not been delivered yet. So, I mean, I would urge that maybe we have somebody from the police department come to us and explain the process, as you said, so that when we go and we do oversight visits, we can explain, you know, to some people who don't know what the process actually looks like. Because even me, Chair, I don't know what the process is in terms of, you know, getting these rape kits at police stations. So it's a bit difficult for me to do my oversight work when I don't understand the process. So I would definitely concur with you to get that information as soon as possible. Thank you, Chair.
I just checked with the advisor for the Committee of Police about what the process is. So what he's told me is, yes, supply chain management at provincial level procures. So the procurement happens at the province level, but it's national supply chain management that handles the contracts. In other words, SAPS National deals with the big contract, and then province, at the provincial level, you got to apply depending on how many police stations you have and what you need. The PC in each province controls the provision to stations. So in other words, the head of a province then manages the distribution to the police stations. At the station level, must alert and apply to the province for it. So you, as the station commander, should be held to account. In other words, the station commander needs to then alert the provincial headquarters to say, this is the amount of rape kits I need. So national does the national contract. Province then ensures, depending on how much police stations they have, what they need. Then the station commander at the individual police station level must apply to the provincial headquarters to say what they want. So the station commander is to be held accountable for the absence of rape kits at the police station.
Yeah. That means what they're doing, they're hiding themselves. They don't do their job. They may put reasons that will appear as if maybe it's a long process, which is not a long process. It's their responsibility, it's their day-to-day responsibility that they need to do. They need to apply. They know the process. So they are the ones, the station commanders, that means is they are the ones who are making police stations not to have those rape kits. Because if them, they don't delegate someone to do that job, to make those requisitions or applications, obviously police stations won't have those rape kits. So I think we need to do something, Yeah. I need to do something. Honorable Mkweba.
No, thanks. Maybe I will also propose that we call that department so that they must give us a presentation. Because why I'm saying that, one visit that we've done in Ekurhuleni, in Binoni, Wadville, and Davidson, you will understand the police stations, there are six of them. There's three in Binoni and Wadville, which is Actonville, Binoni, and Crystal Park. There's three in Davidson, Bitfandeni, Davidson, and Itwato. What we have been told by the station commander is that all the other police stations, in terms of the DNA test, they must always go to the FCS unit that is based at the Binoni Big Police Station for Actonville, for Crystal Park, Bitfontein, Davidton, and Itwato. And again, another problem, especially in Itwato, you'll understand, especially from that area of Ekurhuleni, you know, the GBV and the femicide is very strong in our region or in our municipality. In Itwato, we picked up also, they must also go to the nearest clinic, which is a Philip Moyo clinic in Itwato, in terms of assessment and everything. And there's one doctor that is always available only on Fridays. That then takes a long process in terms of
If it's all, that doctor is only available Friday, if I'm raped on Monday?
Yes, they always tell you that you must come the following, the next week. So that's what I picked up. And it's difficult for them to finalize you know there are cases. But at the end of the day, also the issue of the FCS unit is not in Etowah, is not in Daveyton, is in Benoni. So that's the problem. And for example, when we last visited that police station in Daveyton and Etowah, there were 5 kids, for example, on that Monday, last of last week, that were taken over them for the whole weekend and they were raped. 5, the 13 to 14 year olds, 5 of them went to that, that empowerment office.
Victim empowerment office.
Yes, we went there. We saw some 5 kids that were shocked. We then met somebody in one office there. She then told us that these kids, they've been missing for the whole weekend and they have been raped. Their ages is between 13 and 14. But can you understand the situation where there must be an investigation? There must be a DNA test. And the unit is in Benoni. Also, I've got a problem of Philip Moyo with one doctor that only is available on Fridays. But because obvious part of our
is that clinic their district local.
It's a provincial. That one in Etowah at the end in Ward 64.
So they don't refer those victims to a district surgeon.
No, they always take them to in Etowah. They always take them to Philip Moyo, which is, you know, that hospital at the end of Etowah, just before the flu, yes. So that's the problem. I think it's important that as part of our scope of work, invite the Department of Police, so that they must be sure in terms of whether there's procurement somewhere at the national level, then these ones in the province must identify police stations. It must be clear, the process must be very clear. Because at the end of the day, we always sit here with so many challenges, so many problems, that at the end of the day, we'll sit here until the next the end of 5 years without, you know, tangible programs.
Yeah, I think I agree with Honorable Mgweba. We need to have a joint meeting with the Portfolio Committee of Police. So both of Neliswa and the researchers, you must start with that process and just put the in the agenda the TPV issue. And yeah, because I think it's important. It's urgent. We need to address it. We need to address it. So you must check their schedule and our schedule and tell us when are we going to meet with them. Just for these two items, GBV and rape kits. Even if they can say, say we can meet with them on their day when they are sitting, and then after that we'll leave after we've finished with the two items, and then they can continue with their business. It's fine. It's something that is not in our program. But it's something that is urgent for us to address. Kashif.
Thank you, Chair. I think it is important, but I'm just listening to members. The other two key departments is health and social development. Because if we think about it, in terms of whether somebody is sent to a district surgeon, that's health. And we also need to understand the issue of rape kits and their availabilities. So the police will tell us in terms of police stations. But what happens in the case of someone who goes to a clinic or hospital, and then also for social workers who pick up children. So I understand the issue of engaging with police is important, but I'm just thinking at what stage do we then engage with health and social development, because there's a process and there's a chain of people who need to take issues on. And for different members, depending on who you engage with, you may engage with a social worker at the Tutuzela Care Center, or you may engage with a nurse. And often the breakdown comes in terms of referral between all these different departments. So it comes back to our initial proposal for when we look at GBV, we actually need a sitting in which we have all these portfolio committees and departments come to us. Because at the end of the day, it will always land up being the portfolio committee on women and police that try and do something in the absence of health and social development and even justice. So I'm not sure at what stage we then engage with the portfolio committee on health as well as social development, particularly around matters pertaining to children, because that's where the Children's Act come in, children in need of care and protection, and the implications to that. Thank you.
Maybe for us to have progress, we must start with the other ones and then end up with the other ones. You know, we must prioritize which ones that we want to meet now. You know, because I'm avoiding a big meeting whereby at the end of the day we won't achieve our goal. So when we convene these meetings, we will be having an objective, which what is it that we want to achieve? Ne? And then the other ones also will meet with them on how then do we fast-track the issue of cases and the issue of social workers who must also protect our, play their role in terms of Children's Act, you know? Because they are the ones also that, you know, there's a place in Johannesburg. I'm not sure when are we going to do our oversight, because we haven't done any oversight, and I don't know why. Nelly, so you must tell us, Kashifo, you must tell us why. And then there's a place in Johannesburg. You know, when you're driving in Gauteng, you'll find at the corners many disabled people. And it, for me, I don't know why. It doesn't make sense that you, all of a sudden we have many disabled people who are sitting in the corners. Remember, this is our responsibility as the portfolio committee. We're doing oversight over the disabled persons. And then you'll find many disabled persons sitting in the corners asking for money, begging for money. And when you want to understand, but how possible it is that in each and every street of Gauteng, there's a disabled person sitting there. For me, it tells me that something is happening. I was told by some few taxi owners who are having taxis in Johannesburg. They said to me, there's an area that we need to visit, Telisa, in Johannesburg. There's a taxi rank, and then that there's a place where there are a lot of disabled people. They don't know those disabled people, where are they coming from? But if you can get in there, you will be shocked. So I'm sure myself and those of us who are residing in Gauteng, we need to go there. Honorable Sharif, myself and yourself, we need to go there and do oversight. But Mina, I would have loved we go there as a portfolio committee. We go there as a portfolio committee so that we interview those people that who brought them there. Because they say there are many. In Gauteng, it's something that, you know, you can't understand. You are from Gauteng, you can also witness to that. Honorable Sharif, you don't see those people in Gauteng? You see them. When you drive, you'll find people. And it's like somebody collects them in the evening. It's something that is very funny. We can't allow people making money, using our disabled people to make money for himself or for herself. So I think this is another challenge. But Nina Nizostel, when are we going to do our oversight? Because this is a priority. It's our priority also. Mam Sengwa.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm still on the issue of rapists. when we talk and dwell upon it, I was thinking of we as a committee writing a petition where we all sign that petition to go down to the respective MECs in 9 provinces to speed up this process in their respective provinces. I thank you.
Honorable members, if you are not coming, you know, you must send us a written apology. So when was on note? Honorable Maluleka.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I think your suggestion that we convene a meeting between ourselves and the Portfolio Committee on Police is going to pave a way forward before maybe we can deal with what Honorable Senga is saying. Let's have that meeting first.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, you must tell us a date, ne? I said it's agent. So I'll also speak to the Chair of the Police. Mam Kaula, you are welcome, but contributor to the Angela. Eh, but what? Oh, Yangena, of no contributor, our yard would sit beside Linda.
Gabonga Slat, but the Kumulta, a politician. Politicians together, you be bamboo machine. No, get Tangbonga Shallow, ukukhombisa intshisekelo yokukhuluma ngalabantu abakhubazekile. And sihlalo mina kade ngasho la ngathi sinengile nkinga yabantu laba bayibiza ngokuthi ama-NGO nalaba ama-NPO abaningi bayaganga. Gisa usasho onikhuluma ngegoli. Even wonke ama-province, kunendawo lana ongathi bayathathwa ngebhasa, bafike badampe, abanye baze babekwe nabatana babo. Mthole ukuthi umuntu ukhubazekile uphethe ingane. Ngiyabonga sihlala ukuthi lezi zinto ukhulume ngazo and sihambe ngempela sami. And mhlambe futhi mase sifika khona, ikhona into esoyithole ebambeka ukuthi wobani laba abasebenzisa labantu abakhubazekile bebenza izisulu zabo. Ngoba uma ubheka abekho abantu abakhubazekile ngoba bathola behleli bonke ndawonye babhizi bacelana nemali. Le mali yaphi? Kusho ukuthi ungenzeka lo sikhuluma ngema-human traffic kukhona nala abasebenzisa labantu abakhubazekile. Ngibuyele kulokhu kamamhlengwa. Mamhlengwa ukujobelela lokho kushoyo. Kanjalo futhi kuyafuneka ngelinda ngasixoxisana noma MEC onke lawa ama-province ubhekelela ukuthi izindlu abantu abahlala kuzona zona ziyabavumela yini if sisastike nje kulaba abakhubazekile. If uma beqala ingqalasizinto ngabe kukhona laba plana khona okay sizokwakha izindlu ezizo 500 maybe 100 sizowenza kube wabantu abakhubazekile abazokwazi bahambe ngezihlalo zabo bakwazi ukungena kanjalo. Ngiyabonga sihlalo sathi uJava ngakubusisa nje besihlalo ngempela. Ngiyabonga.
Yeah, I think with that one also we're gonna attend to it because I know that a government do have a provision to assist people who are disabled and the aged in terms of issues of housing. You know, we need to check on what is happening. So one of our priorities so that we see what, how do we deal with it. Nice, so it address.
So, uyabona into engisho ngishiso ukuthi kune-group yabo eThekwini abanenkinga ukuthi abanazo indawo zokuhlala. Abanye abathi babeyinikezwe uhulumeni obandlululo labantu abakhubazekile baningi. But still sekukhona lo hulumeni okhona, especially bakhala ngemeya leni esanda ukuphuma eThekwini engeke ngiyibize ngegama, bathi kusekhona leya phambili yayibayithembisa. bakhishiwe kulezo zindla ababhekelwa nje ngisho kwakhiwa ukuthi siphi structure sabo. Ngeke ngakhuluma ngazo ngisengisewe kule parliament lesiphuma kuyona.
Bakhishiwe bani?
Bakhishiwa imeya eThekwini laba behlala
khona.
Babenikeziwe ukuthi bahlale kuzona njengabantu abakhubazekile.
Okay, what
nginayo ngisho ama-contact angizokunika wona, ubathinta uzobuzwela bendlela abakhala ngawo. Bathi baze bafunda, bayihamba kuthiwa bafunde, banetifunde, banama-diploma, abaqashwa ngoba even ama-building ka-government akanayo lento ukuthi bazohamba kanjani, bazongena kanjani. Yinkinga ezikhona. Sihlale njengoba ngikhuluma nje ngizokunikeza even i-contact yomuntu oyengibizile usizi lo nto kusendele ney'tombe. Ngiyabonga.
Okay, that means as and when we're discussing these issues, you can identify ukuthi ama priorities wethu when we go to oversight awards, ne? You are noting.
Thanks, Chair. I'd like to contribute on the first one when we spoke about the Red Kit. You have said it's no longer a provincial or a local issue, but it's a national problem of the issue of rape or GB. Then, you know, while we are saying all of us were agreeing to meet with the subs, but I think it's important to also make a call or a statement as a portfolio committee to say it is a responsibility of the national to make it a point, be it national or province, all police stations have got a rape kit, irrespective of the processes that they are talking about. While we'll be discussing with them, sorry, Chair, they must make it a point, because even the president have made a statement. So for us to sit here and discuss processes and supply chain, whatever, really it does not assist us. For us is to make a decision or to make a call to say all police stations, because these issues, rapes, are happening even in deep rural areas where there's no network, where the communication is very poor. Then if you wait, if you listen to yourself when you got an a report to say there are certain police stations that does not have those rape kits, it's because of the process. Yes, the process will be long. While you seated here, we think it's not long. But can't we make a call or a statement to say, let us make it a point, all police stations, they must have all those rape kits, irrespective of the station commander writing or making a request. To the issue of disabled people, it's all over. From Messina to Cape Town, you get disabled people on the street requesting for money. But we must bear in mind, our government is very proactive, and our government is taking care of each and everyone who's a South African. They have, they are getting grants. Two, we need to check whether they are South Africans or not. From Musina, port of entry, the biggest border. Most of them are not South African citizens. But I'm not saying we must, it's all of them that are not South Africans. But we need to also look into that. If really it's a challenge, and on the other issues to say, even our South African citizens are also on the street requesting money, what is happening with SASSA? It comes back with what was proposed by one of our researchers to say we need to have interdepartmental meeting with other departments, especially SASSA and health. But my proposal is to say, Chair, there is a program in Parliament. All of us, all portfolios must go to oversight. Then it's us who must come up with a date, checking the availability of all members, even yourself as a chair, and tell them when do we want to go for an oversight and where are we starting. If really it's an issue, we are starting with the issue of rape issues,
we need to go for an oversight and identify a province where these issues are escalating. All of us, we go to those police stations, we go to those areas and check, then come back with our own report. Yeah. Because sitting here, I'll say something, somebody will say something. So, sometimes it does not give us a clear indication of what is it that we are saying. Raising on the issue of disabled people is a problem. We've got shelters. And why are they not going to shelters? If we go all out, all of us, and say we are going for an oversight, and we get a bunch of those people who are disabled sitting one place, we can have a decision, and we'll be joined with the subs. They'll collect them. We'll have to take them. We'll be having social workers and all this stuff. Then we'll have to take them to a central point. Issues of houses that Mom Kaula is talking about. Remember, a house, when it's built, there's a beneficiary. And when there's a beneficiary, whether you are a mayor or whoever, you don't have a right to take away that house. So those are the issues that I think we must go down deeper and make our own oversight. We must not we need to share this information, but let's go down and make our own oversight, and we'll come back and make recommendations where it's supposed to be. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. You know, you must not mind my voice. I had a flu for the whole weekend. I had a sore throat. It was a very terrible one. So that's why today I'm speaking like, you know, it's like I'm in some way, not in a meeting. It's because I have a sore throat. Honorable Mpiti, I was very worried about you. And I thought you have resigned. And I was saying, no, my son cannot resign. You are adding value here. So we need you in this committee with Honorable Ngobo. So you're welcome. We got your apology that you are running late from Honorable Sharif. So, and then Honorable, our whip, you are welcome. I thought you are still not well because I didn't check you over the weekend. I was in the meeting of NEC for the whole weekend, Friday up until Sunday and up until yesterday. So I couldn't check you. So you are welcome. We are hoping that you are better. Even Honorable Piri, you are both welcome because both of you were sick. Yeah. Honorable Mpiti.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to apologize to the committee for being a few minutes late. It turns out there were 15 flights grounded this morning by SAA and British Airways because of safety reasons. So I don't know what's happening with that, but apologies for my lateness. Chair, no, I'm not resigning. So all of those that are hoping that they must, they'll have to drag me out. Chair, I just wanted to comment just on the oversight visits that we are speaking to. I sometimes feel the scope of the committee is so much, and there's so many issues and so many vulnerable groups that this committee is almost tasked to provide that particular oversight within departments, but also within society as well. And so, for us as a committee, I think it becomes very important to be able to not get overwhelmed with the holistic picture, with all the issues that exist. And so for me, my input would just be that it's okay to speak about all the issues, but also for us to make progress as a committee, we need to narrow things down and be able to focus on maybe themes, rather than to speak to so many issues. Because, I mean, I'm also thinking now when those of us who live at Acacia, when we drive back home in that bus, there's people who are living in that open south just in front of Acacia, you know, and us as members of parliament are sitting in the bus, and those people are living there with kids and children, you know. So, you know, when you think about the scope of what we need to be doing as a committee in terms of protecting the most vulnerable people in our society, there's much work to be done, you know, and I'm not saying homelessness is part of the scope of the committee, but I think it's something that, you know, for me, when I'm sitting on the bus and I see people living in a felt just in front of where members of parliament live, that's not right. It cannot be. And how do we as members of parliament feel when we see that? Because we do see it, you know, those of us who live there. So my input is just to say, you know, when we look at the matters that were raised around rape kits, I know there's a number of people have started to go visit police stations to check rape kits. And so keeping in mind the outcry that has been happening in the country regarding the crisis that we've been facing for a very long time around rape, and that particular matter, I think it's a great way to, as a committee, continue that work rather than to focus on something completely different, because I think that will really, it will almost leave us in limbo if we don't deal with it. And then secondly, you know, there was, you know, when we attended the LGBTIQA plus community session discussion that took place, again, there were promises that were made to the community, you know, and so we must also not forget that they met with us, they shared their frustrations with us, and that is also something that must be a standing item in these discussions before we put more issues on our plates. So I think the issue of oversight, Chair, either we do it, you know, through our own individual selves, which is what has been happening, but I think if we do it as a committee, it's going to be more impactful, because then we can be able as a committee to gather more information and be able to take decisions that have some weight. Whereas when you do your own individual oversight, you know, you can pick up the issues and drive them politically through your own political party. However, in terms of legislative means to make changes, the committee is required to be there. So I think those are issues that we really need to be able to think about. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Honorable Ngobo.
Thanks, Chairperson. No, I just wanted to comment on the issue of people or persons with disabilities. I think that it will also be important for us as a portfolio committee to look at a report from the Human Rights Commission, because they've done an extensive research on this subject. For instance, there's a research brief on disability and equality in South Africa that the Human Rights Commission did from the period between 2013 and 2017. And they made a number of good recommendations there. And one of them is that the Department of Labor should engage with the Department of Public Service and Administration and the private sector to facilitate faster transformation of the labor market for persons with disabilities. So it will be very important to make sure that we don't work in silos, but work in conjunction with other various stakeholders that have an interest in this matter. Thank you.
Yeah, I think you're right. What we'll need now, not today, what we'll need is that if our researchers can assist us with that information so that we can be able to discuss about it. You must check our diary. We don't mind sitting for the whole day, for as long as we are doing justice to our work. We are serving our people. I think the other matter that I want to raise with you, honorable members, it's an issue that I witnessed over on Friday. Friday. There's another challenge that our people are faced with, the issue of Ama widows. Widows are experiencing problems when they are claiming their estates. What do they call those courts? Where you claim estates? in my court because baby's not in. What do they call it? Tasmin, what do they call it? Where widows are claiming estate, where everybody is claiming estate of the deceased. Sorry? Yes, yes.
There's a very big challenge. There's a very big challenge.
So, you know, there are issues that I see now every day since I'm in this portfolio committee. That, you know what? This portfolio committee has a lot of work to do. Remember, most of our issues are overlapping to all the departments. So I think you're right, Honorable Mpiti and Honorable Piri, that we need to prioritize the issues that we want to deal with. We said our first one is GBV. Ne? GBVF. So we are going to meet with the portfolio committee on police, its agents. We said police and health, ne? I said we don't want a big meeting, and then we'll have to break the committee with the portfolio committees and meet the other two, social development and justice. Yeah, so we need to meet with health and police. Because we can't separate those ones, because those ones are very much important in terms of victims being referred to district agents. So that you must understand what is happening there. And then after we'll meet with basic education, basic education. I think we'll meet with the, higher education. We need to meet with three. Better if there are three and meet the other three.
I think you are correct that we must meet three because there are six.
Okay.
Yes.
But the police, health, and what? What are you saying? Yeah, right. Yeah, that's how we're going to.
Chair, let me firstly apologize. Maybe I'm getting it at the tail end, so I might have missed something. But I would recommend, Chair, that we don't separate social development from that police cluster because they are running a similar. In fact, they speak to each other. Some of their programs, like the Thuthuzela care centers, it's a joint effort between USAPS and UDSD. So if we separate them, it might be a problem. Maybe let's take out to help. I don't know. But let's not separate the police from social development because they work together. Their systems actually speak to each other, Chairperson. Thank you.
We'll see but how do we do it. And also, maybe the speaker and the chair of chairs will advise on which one must we take first. Ne? But this is our proposal. And then we can now move to... Then we'll have themes. Ne? Remember, it's 5 years. So we can spread... our issues. Yeah. We'll do oversight. In terms of doing oversight, you know, the first one that we're going to start with is this one. And the second one we're going to start with is the disabled one.
And then the GBV FIQ+A+. GBL LGBTIQ+. You know why? Why now? It's because I've got in my mind this GBVF. So now I want to go to LGBTQI+. That one, we need the department to give us a progress report, because we're there as the portfolio committee. That one, I think we need a progress report. And then Mam Kaula, and then we go to our report.
Ngibonge sana. Uyazi kukhona umnyango la ongaphansi kwa health. Kodwa lo mnyango ngendlela onganakekile ngawo and uneyinkinga and ugcwela abantu besifazane, forensic. Forensic ngendlela iyinkinga abhekene nazo zinkulu kwathina, we have to ukuthi lapha singene.
Oh, in terms of doing oversight?
Yes.
Yeah, because they follow under SAPS.
Yes. Sihlalo, okunye kodwa-ke kulungile, uzobe sesikubheka. Angazi lana mhlawumbe khona yini oko avisitha njengoba kuvelela ukuthi funa nathi sizenzele lento ebizwa kuzwa ngokuthi ama-oversight. Ekhaya mnandi la Stellenbosch kunenkinga sihlalo laphayana, abantu kunama-toilet. Othola ukuthi i-toilet likude njengoba silana nje mhlawumbe lapha e-Max Building. Leli toilet kune-queue kuyona, abesifazane, iy'ngane, abantu besilisa. Even ebusuku la yandawo la iy'nkinga ngendlela ongayazi. Ezinye zezinto if masikhuluma ngokuthi sibhekelela le ndaba ye-abhuzwa kwabantu besifazane nale ndaba ye-rape nangendlela abahlala kuyona laphayana, ibuhlungu ngendlela ongayazi. Angazi ukuthi singayibheka kanjani. Ngelinye ilanga ke sihambe siyobheka ukuthi kambe thina isithunzi sethu as abantu besifazane sifuna ukuqhamuka sesikhala sithi abantu bareshiwe, kodwa singakwazi ukubheka first ukuthi kwenzakalani. Ngoba uma ubheka lapho uzothola ukuthi akhona amakhesi e-rape, kodwa manje ngenxa yokuthi kunamacala afika avulwe abuye aphele lakhe, njengaleli engangikhuluma ngayo.
I am landed here in Cape Town.
Here, like Cape Town.
Okay, fine, Mam Kaula. What?
Ezinye izinto nje.
Wednesday, we are not sitting, ne? I'm saying Wednesday, we are not sitting. So, most of you are available. Ne? Why not too much? Most of you are available. You are not attending any other committees. No, it's fine. When we want. But Tina thought you were available. So is it possible that we can organize on that day and go and visit that place and see what Mam Kaula is talking about? It's part of our oversight. We can apply it. Next week, Ingek. Okay, we'll inform members, ne? If there's a possibility. If there's no possibility, then we'll tell you. But Mam Kaula, some of the issues, most of Tony, you can also write to us then so that you can refer them to a relevant department. Any member, ne? If you've got an issue that you feel strong that needs to be that needs urgent attention, you must write to us. In fact, when I say to us, obviously you'll write to the chair so that I can refer the matter to the relevant department. Don't wait for the meeting. Just write, email me, chair, there is this thing in such and such a place. Even when you do oversight, if there is an issue that you discover and you see that this needs urgent attention, just feel free, write to me. Mina, I will refer it to the relevant department and we'll get feedback.
like we have done with the rape kids, like we have done with the rape case of a three-year-old, like what we're doing with other cases. Abantu, they are writing to me every day saying statements and things. And so what I do when I get all those cases, I refer them to relevant departments, and they get resolved. So maybe one day we need to give you the AMA updates. But how many issues have we resolved? Even some of the cases, Mamkaula, as reporter, we take them as in about social development to refer them to about social development, and those issues are being resolved by departments. So I'm sure this is the best way of also assisting our people. Honorable Mpiti?
Chair, I just wanted to, just maybe as a point of, on the issue of oversight, I don't know if everybody knows there's a family here in Khayelitsha where the husband shot the two kids and the wife a while back. It was on the front pages of some of the local newspapers here.
Mm-hmm.
And the family now, the bodies of the mother and the two kids have been in the mortuary for over a month now. And the husband who killed them has been buried by the family because the family is refusing to let the maternal parents bury their daughter and her kids. So, I mean, that's one of the issues that we could perhaps assist maybe to bring CGE as a point of oversight that we could do on a Wednesday without having to coordinate, you know, very, very hectically, because it's an issue that is quite big right now. I mean, they were killed a month ago. They're still in the mortuary. There's something that we could possibly do, you know, to assist as a committee. And I think if we can just get that one win to get that family to get peace and bury that the family members, then I think that's one of the things that we could do. And the family has reached out for help as well. So just to give, I can give all the information to someone if they need it. And then if it's something that we can do as a committee, you know, let's please help them.
Okay, no, it's fine. We'll deal with that one. Kashifa and Neliswa, get all those particulars, all those details from Honorable Mpiti, and we'll refer them to the relevant department, and we'll make follow-ups, ne? You'll make follow-ups, ne? And tell us what is the progress. I didn't see that one, Honorable Mpiti. It's because I was in the meeting for the whole weekend until yesterday. So, I didn't see it. No, it's fine. We'll take it. Okay, let's get to our report. We have plenty of time. We have done a lot of work last week. So we nearly even adopted our report last week. The only thing we wanted you to make inputs if there are things that you feel strong that we need to add in our report. But Tina, I think we're satisfied. Kashifa, what she's going to present now is the issues that we have added and the amendments that we have made to our report. And then we adopt our report. Over to you, Kashifa. And I hope the other people who requested meetings with the chair, I said you must be there, ne? As the staff. I don't want to meet people alone. I want to meet people with the staff. Tomorrow I don't want them to say, hey, the chair said 1, 2, 3. People misquote you. So when we have witnesses, it's much better. Over to you, Kashifa.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just looking at the BRR report, the Chair has now requested that we focus specifically on the observations and the recommendations. So what I would do is just highlight where we had made amendments, and then I will take my cue from Chair. That would be from page 30, Chairperson and members. So if there's anything in addition in the observations and recommendations, Chairperson can just lead and I'll do the amendment right up on the screen for members to see. So I won't read every observation as members would have received the report. I'll just highlight what, if any, changes we had included based on what members had provided in terms of input last week. So the first set of observations, which is 13.1, covers general matters. We made specific reference to... 13.1 is general.
You said page 32.
Page 30.
Okay.
So under the general matters just refers to the tabling that we had concurred, specifically what the targets were for both the department, what the budget was and the surplus saving. If we move over to page 31, we highlighted specifically that there was an increase in the performance from the previous financial year into 18-19, that the majority of targets met in Program 1 related to compliance matters in terms of the development of submission of reports, while the targets achieved in the core programs were the development of frameworks, reports, many of which were still draft. That the committee concurred with the findings of the Auditor General and the Audit and the Risk Committee. In terms of F, as with the previous financial years, the committee questioned the nature of expenditure by the department, given that a few targets were met in its core program, which is 2 and 3, with many of the deliverables having been long-standing, were in draft form, and some even undertaken by consultants, and the main cost drivers were still cost of employment and goods and services. G, it was around noting that there was a limited number of tangible deliverables that have been implemented in its final state that fulfills the department's strategic objectives at the end of the MTSF period, and therefore the committee questioned what evidence there was to motivate this expenditure. H concerned the changing of the APP over the past 3 years. I was around the concern that the recommendations of the AG was not implemented and that the AOC had repeat findings, the same with the AG. J was the note around the repeated request for documents that were not submitted and the impact this has on the committee's ability to do oversight. If we move over to page 32K, the committee noted with concern that even though the department's mandate is to promote gender equality and the economic empowerment of women, the evidence provided here too was not convincing and did not appear to translate to visible changes to women in South Africa, particularly the most vulnerable. The committee noted with concern the AG and the ARC's finding, which relates to the lack of accountability, which was attributed to the leadership within the department. The committee remains concerned about whether the department is optimally utilizing its budget and whether it was in fact giving effect to its mandate. And then lastly, under general observations N, the committee remains concerned about the repeat findings both by the AG and the ARC regarding leadership, and that in 17-18, the AG noted that adequate oversight was not effectively and timely exercised by the accounting officer and senior management regarding performance reporting and compliance with laws and regulations. In addition, the action plans to address audit findings were developed but not always effectively implemented and approved, implemented and monitored. The latter has regressed even further as the audit action plan was only approved in February 2019, a month before the end of the financial year. Those are the general observations and recommendations. And then under observations with respect to the department, we just provide a summary of the key outcomes in terms of targets for Program 2 and 3, and comparing it to the previous financial year. And we questioned why, again, many of these things were still in draft form, and that the committee acknowledged the department's request for these to be presented in terms of the reports which they note as being achieved. As we move over to page 33, the committee commended the CGE for attaining most of its targets for the year under review, given the funding constraints and vacancies, and that it strove to implement innovative means to achieve its targets through partnerships, commitments, and dedication by staff to give effect to the Commission's mandate. In terms of 13.7, the policy imperatives, it's again behind the committee notes, as with the previous financial year, it does not indicate how the attainment of its 21 targets achieved for 18-19 contributed towards progressing and achieving governance key priorities, namely the NDP and the MTSF outcomes. B was the notable silence around work around the National Gender Policy Framework, which is very old. Previously it said it would be reviewing it, but the current framework, which is around gender responsive planning, monitoring, evaluation audit framework, it's still not implemented because the guidelines are still being developed. In terms of governance and operational issues, I'll just correct, I see the numbering is incorrect. It was 13.7, now it's 13.3. I'll just check that numbering. In terms of governance and operational issues, A, the AG findings.
Kashifa, let's go to B.
B?
Yeah.
Yeah, the committee notes the department's silence on any reference to the National Gender Policy Framework in its annual report 18-19, even though it had stated in the previous annual report for 17-18 as part of its future plans, it would be reviewing the country's outdated gender policy. So previously, it said that it was going to update this national policy, which focuses on gender equality for the country. As such, the committee maintains that in the absence of a gender mainstreaming framework, which has yet to be fully implemented, the committee was concerned as to what policies department using to drive gender mainstreaming and how the rest of government was to be guided in this regard. The M&E framework has yet to be completed and fully implemented by the department as the guidelines were being developed for the gender responsive planning, monitoring, evaluation and audit framework. So that, they're saying, is supposed to guide the country as opposed to how we're going to implement gender responsive budgeting, monitoring and evaluation and auditing. But it's not fully implemented because they told us they're busy with the guidelines. Because DPME had told our department that when other government departments looked at that gender responsive framework, they said they can't implement it, they need guidelines. So hence we're still busy working on guidelines.
Who's working on the guidelines?
Our department.
It says must give them time frame. We must give them time frame. Because this department have got a tendency of working on frameworks for lo. So we need time frame. That's why I said go back to this one. What should be the time frame for this thing? Remember the M&E. They've been working on it. That's why even that day in that meeting, I said to them, maybe they need to consult with the CGE and ask them what tool are they using in terms of M&E. So here, we can't just leave it like this. There must be something on the recommendation. Eh? We must look at the recommendation and think of a time frame. Okay. Agreed, honourable members. Ne? We need to give them time frame because they do things lololol. If we leave it like this, they will take 5 years, like they've done already. From 2010 up until now, they don't have a monitoring, an evaluation tool. So if they don't have it, that's why they are not able to monitor departments on how are they dealing with other issues. Even when they are doing advocacy, they can't even tell us what exactly are they what are they advocating on behalf of our people. You remember when we were talking about issues of 30% preferential procurement policy, my cases, and so on. And they don't. So it's important that we give them a time frame this time. When we come out recommendations, ne? Because I think it's day in the recommendations. Yeah.
Honorable.
honourable members can think meanwhile you are reading the report, on what time frames are we giving them?
Thank you, Chair. So under governance and operational issues, for the AG findings, just to highlight, the concern was that it was repeat findings and that these recommendations were not taken seriously. In terms of the audit and risk committee, the committee acknowledged the efforts of the ARC and said despite the early warnings received, the committee's concern that the implementation of the recommendations by the AG and again the ARC were not forthcoming by senior management, and consequent management appears to be questionable despite the regular meetings between the ARC and department senior management. And again, this is a repeat finding from the previous financial year where the former committee has raised the same matter. If we move over to page 34 on the top, so the committee concurs with the ARC's findings and the recommendations of the AG. The committee agrees the ARC that the capacity constraints of the department should be addressed. And it also concurs with the ARC in so far as questioning how optimally the department is utilising its budget and whether it was focusing on the key issues that gives effect to its mandate. In terms of compliance, the committee noted again with concern the repeat finding with regard to irregular expenditure, unauthorised, fruitless and wasteful expenditure incurred by the department, and questioned what the department's efforts were to deal with the root causes of the problem and to take strong decisive action against transgressors as these issues persist from year to year, where the consequent management was actually appeared to not to be a deterrent as problems persisted. The committee noted with concern the AG's findings that the AG was unable to obtain sufficient appropriate evidence that disciplinary steps were taken against officials who had incurred irregular expenditure as well as fruitless and wasteful expenditure. That D, specific matters related to supply chain management in terms of procurement and contract management were unacceptable and should have not occurred but has continued from year to year. Again, this is a repeat finding. E, in terms of the forensic investigations, the committee has noted the investigations initiated by the department on account of irregular expenditure, and this was on page 47 of the annual report, and we urge the department to deal with this expeditiously. In terms of internal audit, the committee had noted the audit and risk committee's reports and that the internal audit function did not timely complete the internal annual audit plan approved by the audit and risk committee due to delays in the provision of the information by management for audit purposes and limited human and financial resources within the internal audit division. Again, this is a repeat finding from the previous year. We acknowledge that the internal audit committee audit unit was not well capacitated and therefore was not operating optimally. The delay in providing the requisite information is unacceptable. Again, as in the previous financial year, the committee seeks clarity from the department as to what the implications are then for the 2018 financial period, given that the audit and risk committee has noted with concern that the department was unable to resolve all the matters that were raised by the AG in the previous audit, and some have reoccurred in the 2017-18 annual audit by the AG. As we move over to page 35, the committee calls on the department to strengthen internal audit with human resource and material capacity. In terms of G, the internal controls, again, it's a repeat finding which the committee notes. It was concerned by the audit committee's report, which indicates that it was identified that the system of internal control was not entirely effective during the year under review, as several instances of non-compliance with internal controls were reported by the internal audit and the AG. Again, we look at the contrast between 16-17 and 17-18, and the issue is that the problem persists.
Kashifa? Well, the issue of them applying for condemnation, it falls under what? Remember, on the recurring...
That would be under finance, Chief.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. So for H, risk management, we commend the department for that appointment, for filling the post. However, despite filling the post,
the APP was still amended and targets were still not met, which brings into question the extent to which risks were properly identified at the inception of the APP and plans in place to avoid non-delivery of targets. The committee notes with concern that department officials responsible for risk management for the large part of 2017 financial year had no previous experience of risk management. And that was for the previous financial year. And again, we're just showing the issue of human resource capacity within the risk management. In terms of I leadership, the committee noted with serious concern the AG's findings that the department exercised ineffective oversight regarding performance reporting and compliance with laws and regulations. Again, we highlight the matters pertaining to non-compliance with laws and regulations, which is in contrast to what the department has presented to the committee during the quarterly reviews, in which it reassured the committee that compliance matters were addressed. But based on the findings of the AG and the ARC, in particular the accounting officer and senior management did not exercise adequate oversight and responsibility with regards to financial expenditure management, performance reporting and compliance with legislation in terms of procurement and contract management. The audit action plan was inadequately implemented by responsible managers to address the internal and external audit findings. Recommendations despite the department presenting to the committee during quarterly reviews and indicating that an audit action plan was developed and implemented. This is a repeat finding again from the previous financial year, but the greater concern was that the audit action plan was only approved in February 2019, a month before the 2018 financial year. So in terms of consequent management, J, the committee raised its concerns, as it done in the previous financial year, about the lack of effective consequent management for employees who failed to comply with supply chain management or performance prescripts. The committee raised concerns with the effectiveness of the consequent management which the department implemented given the systemic nature of the problems that have persisted since the inception of the department. The committee noted that the leadership of the department should take more stringent actions to enforce compliance and implement consequence management for employees who fail to comply, especially in relation to the senior management structure, particularly the accounting officer and the DG. Again, in terms of HR, we've noted the matters pertaining to the top-heavy structure, in terms of the vacancies, that we were able to keep it to below 10%. C, was just with the consultants. We noted the discrepancy.
Honourable Mpiti.
Sorry, Kashifa, to interrupt you. Just on A. It's a tough one because we don't have the structure to make or to at least make that input to say it's top heavy. Because I'm just wondering, because, you know, we did ask the department at the last couple of meetings to send the structure. And so I just want to, just want to maybe understand the point, so that we understand what we're referring to. Because, I mean, the structure that was sent, I think I did make the point the last time that it was, it wasn't of the entire department. It was just of a section of the department, and other positions were left out. So I don't know if we need to maybe consider to add that point or perhaps relook at how this particular point is written.
Thank you, Chief. Perhaps if we look at D, under that structure of and capacity with the department. So the committee still remains concerned about the top-heavy structure of the department in the administration program, the core program functioning on far less staff. This despite an organizational review implemented by the department and the skills audit undertaken in 2015. The committee is cognizant of the department's response that the lack of adequate capacity has impacted directly on its ability to deliver on its targets. However, the committee noted that the department has identified a set of deliverables through its annual performance plan base, and as such, the non-delivery cannot then be attributed to poor planning. The committee notes that an assessment of the department's organic area is required to determine precisely where the capacity constraints currently exist within the programs. So if we take back to the issue of the top-heavy structure, given what Crystal had presented around HR, Crystal noted to members where our current funding lies in terms of across the board for programs, we're actually giving, I think, on average, between $500,000 and over $1 million for two levels. Which levels were that? 13 and 14. So based on that, we're saying, but the point below that and the structure and capacity, we're saying we still need to look at that organogram. So I think the top heavy structure, just based on where the funding is going to, who they're paying in terms of salary bands. In terms of C, on page 36.
I think also, you remember, even in the CFO's office, you know, the CFO is there, but...
So in terms of C, the use of consultants, again, we just, Crystal had noted that when we looked at the funding for who we're spending, there were 12 projects for which we were spending C and human resources for consultants, that we had spent on 12 projects an amount of $4.619 million, and that, so just to read again at the end of page 36, the department indicated that it utilized the services of consultants for 12 projects, which amounting to $4.619 million, slightly more than the $4.03 million spent on the consultants in the previous financial year. So in 17-18, we spent just $4.03 million, and in 18-19, it was $4.619 million. And as we move over to page 37, at the top of the page, the department continued to utilize the services of a consultant for the dialogues, which are held in three provinces. This despite the former committee's recommendation that the department desist from doing that and instead utilize its existing staff with the assistance of the CGE, and that the target on the incentive schemes was also achieved utilizing the service of a consultant for $800,000. This brings into question what the role of officials were within the respective program or responsible for the delivery of that target that were undertaken by consultants, yet many of these officials earn between $500,000 or just under million rand per annum. And then it takes us to the issue of the structure and the capacity. So the issue of the HR for this department is it's top-heavy. They're keeping the issue of the vacancy rate. We note that they still use consultants, but we're saying why you use consultants if you're paying staff so much. But we also say, noting that they're saying they've got capacity constraints, and the reason they can't deliver is because of capacity constraints. For E, the issue around the DC cases was they're saying they achieved this target of 100% of all cases resolved within 90 days, but we also picked up that within the irregular expenditure, and that there were 8 instances, 6 were referred for investigation, 1 was still under investigation. So this does not correlate, and that... of the 4 DC cases which the department refers to, 2 were finalized, 1 employee was found guilty and dismissed, and 1 employee acquitted, and there were still 2 outstanding. So the committee concurred with the ARC's recommendation that the case involving the suspended deputy director for supply chain management should be expedited, and that as we move over to page 38, the committee remained concerned that this illustrates how the department's target pertaining to the...
I think here, it was not only the issue of... unless I'm confusing the points. There were polls to which they said there was a moratorium, and we advised them that they need to make the application with the BSA. Where does that one fall in?
That's around vacancies, Chair. So this, the DC cases, is they're saying they met that target, but we picked up in terms of irregular expenditure, there were 8 instances. 6 were deferred for investigation, and 2 were still under investigation. Then there were still arbitration matters and litigation. So the issue is, if you're saying you resolved all your cases within 90 days, how is it that there's still unresolved investigations and matters pending? That meant you could not have achieved your target. Just following up on the issue of the arbitration and the suspension, F and G. So for F, arbitration, there were 5 matters and 2 litigation. So 4 to the 5 cases for the arbitration were still pending, and 1 matter was finalized, and that was the one that was which there was a settlement agreement. In terms of the suspension, the committee remains concerned about the cost implications of officials that have been placed on suspension. In terms of 8, H, performance rewards and salary bans, the committee notice concerns the stipulation of performance rewards within the annual report. Again, it was unclear on what basis the performance awards were allocated or notch increases were awarded in the department when the performance of the past 2 financial years have been poor. Many of the deliverables were in draft form with no tangible evidence of impact, and a significant amount of work the department has been outsourced to consultants or contract workers. So for the financial performance, in terms of the unauthorized expenditure, so the department incurred unauthorized expenditure for the year under review, there was no unauthorized expenditure, but the committee does note the historical debt that is still detected in the department's financial statements as condonement still needs to be considered. So that's the issue that she had asked about, the historical debt. So for food, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, it was 334,000. For C, the irregular expenditure, again, we noted it was 4.095 million. And that previously the department disclosed for 17-18 financial year, 6.1 million. I'll just add in the million. Due to non-compliance with procurement processes. As we move over to page 39, what we've done here is just to compare the concern around the irregular expenditure between the different years. And of importance to note was that the transactions for irregular expenditure incurred for 17-18 were referred to National Treasury for investigation. These investigations were still in progress as at 31 March 2018, but no feedback was given to the committee in its 18-19 annual report in this regard. So the important point here is that the irregular expenditure wasn't just about 18-19. It happened in 17-18. There was investigation. It wasn't concluded. But in 18-19, there's no report as to how that was dealt with. And not even during our quarter report meetings, the department give us an update in that regard. So the key thing around the vitamins, around D, was that...
I just wanted to ask on point C. I remember when we were sort of asking the department about this particular point, and there was almost a historical looking back of what has been, you know, the regular expenditure of the department. And I think that is how we then raised the issue that the department should be looking deeply at the historical part of irregular expenditure, because it seems to be continuing. So I know that in the report of the AG, it went back all the way to 2010, if I'm not wrong, the financial year 10-11. I think it went back that far back. So I don't know if it's worthwhile to maybe, you know, to substantiate the point on page 39 regarding the concern that we have as a committee, because it's not necessarily, you know, a matter of only only this financial year. It's as you've pointed out in other areas, it's a repeat finding. But in this instance, it's a repeat finding over a number of financial years, which I think is fundamentally important to point out, because next year, or in the next financial year when we deal with this issue, we need to have the golden thread to say that this is an issue that has been continuing, that we really need to see improvement in.
Nam ngayi buzela nje sihlalo khona la nami engilanga priesthood 8 ku ngifuna la ukuthola ukuthi
asiqede ngale ka honorable mphithi first.
Okay,
this is the honorable mphithi, what were you saying in 39?
No chair, I was just saying that it's important for us to be able, because I remember raising a point to the department to say that, you know, when we were speaking about irregular expenditure, they sort of said, you know, this is something that happened within this financial year because of XYZ, and they listed a number of issues. And so my response to them was just basically to say that if you go back historically into the department, you see this issue keep coming back over the financial years. So all I was saying is that on page 39 at the top there, just for us to make a note of that historical pattern, to substantiate our concern that is raised at the top of the page in the line that says, in which the committee then noted with concern the irregular expenditure incurred, right, which was mainly due to non-compliance with procurement processes, to add to say that this is, when you look at the previous financial years, a repeat finding that continues to be, you know, something that is, that continues to sort of not take the department forward. So that when we do go back or come back to in the next financial year, we have a substantiated point to say there is a problem here on this issue of irregular expenditure. I don't know if you get me.
Yeah. I'm still thinking, what, how do we work on it? No, it's fine. Honorable Kaula? It's good.
Yeah,
you can ask so that we are not going back. Yeah, because Honorable Peter was just saying maybe we need to add something. So agreeing on that one. On how what we add. We have added.
Ngiyabonga sihlalo. Mina kwami la ngine
Honorable Peter, you must read what they've added already. Read
ala. Oh, I
can't see it. Oh, I haven't been added. Mr. Pizzle, Kashiva, move it up. It's down, no? Yeah. Yeah, but not much. Tell you, but not like him. Could you tell him? But not like him.
I'm on this point.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, Mana. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Chair, I think the inability of the department to get a clean audit tells us that they have been for consecutive years unauthorized expenditure, wasteful expenditure, irregular expenditure. Now, my question with this, in terms of saying that it's a repeat finding. Is it a repeat finding in that it's the same irregular expenditure cause, or it's just irregular expenditure over the years? Sorry? It's the same repeat findings. Okay, then I'm comfortable with that, because obviously The inability to get a clean audit tells you that there's going to be irregular expenditure, there'll be unauthorized expenditure, there'll be wasteful expenditure. So for me, the point that says that it's a repeat finding, it's an obvious case because it's always there. There's going to be irregular expenditure. There's going to be wasteful expenditure. There's going to be, you know. So I was just checking whether it's necessary to note it. Yeah. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, it's necessary to note it. Because also, remember, we are pushing them to advertise, to fast-track the DC cases. Because one of the posts that they can't fill, it's because of someone who is in that post, whom they haven't finalized his case. So they must finalize Amadis case as well. Remember, Guti, they said, I think if I'm, we must correct me, Kashifa, if I'm wrong. There was a post that they advertised, good supply chain, but they did not shortlist the incumbent because there's an outstanding case. The case is not finalized. So what we're trying to do here now, we're trying to push them to fast-track the finalization of the DC cases.
Yes, Chairperson. I think we must also note it to be in our recommendation, what you are saying. Because here is an observation,
yeah.
So in our recommendation we must have that.
Christelle, you got it, ne? Okay, fine. Honorable Mkweba?
No, I think I'm covered by Honorable Mkweba because my understanding is that now we're speaking in terms of the observation to all the department and the entities. There's a recommendation that speaks to these issues.
Yeah. So that we must not forget.
Yes.
We must add it in our recommendation. No, it's fine. Honorable Kaula?
Ngiyabonga sihlalo.
Mamela wena, Mkweba, was your mic on?
No.
No, can we use the on? Repeat what you were saying.
No, thanks. I'm so sorry. Sometimes, you know, the fourth industrial revolution can always deal with us. I'm saying I understand the fact that we are still discussing observations, that at the back of these pages, there are recommendations that speaks on these issues.
Yeah.
In terms of the observations. So we can add in terms of the recommendations, but when I read the document even last week, the issues at the back of this document speaks to the observations presented by Kashif.
Yeah, no, it's fine. That's why I'm saying it's better for us to interject them now, so that you cannot go back. When we go to recommendations, we'll just check if we're fine with all the recommendations that we've made. If there's something that is short, then, because what they are doing, as and when we are amending something on the observations, they must also amend our recommendations. Honorable Kaula.
Yabonga sihlalo. No, mina kwami kuthi khona kanti ngesiZulu okuthiwa ukhuluma ngengulube esesakeni. Khona lana okuvela khona lana ngikupage 38.
I wonder how do you translate that a pig in the sack of water.
In the bag.
Okay.
Yabona.
That was on the lighter note.
Uyazi ukuthi why le nto ngifuna ukuyizama ukuthi ngiyibheke la. Yingakho la sikhuluma ukuthi manje afuna sibanikeze i-framework. Singabanikeza itara latanga ngoba ekugcineni sogcina nathi kulo 5 years singatholi lutho.
Kusho time frame, ne?
So ngiqondeke manje ukuthi namanje kufanele angabe mabeletha i-report thina. Because suke sazi ukuthi usoren so u-Adam Mfumnyango sazi ukuthi ubani wenzeni amaxa kungachama kusitshelwa ngokuthi case osuspendiwe ubani ukhuluma ngobani. What if mhlambe futhi sekuthiwa kuyaqashwa phinda futhi uqashwa same person. Thina as a portfolio committee asimazi ukuthi lo muntu esiyaphinda sithi uzoqashwa la ilo muntu obekade ebhizi enza lama underspendisha nalo muntu obenalekusebenzisa imali ngale ko-authorize. So ekugcineni sigcina sikhala ngokuthi lo mnyango awusebenzi, kanti inkinga nezinto ey'lethwa kuthina ziza zithule yabo. Ezinye izinto ma beletha lani ukuthi kunamacala, kunabantu abasaspendiwe, abasitshele ukuthi lobo bantu yini abayenzile or batholakale benza buphi ukuphambana nomthetho ka-government abawufungela ukuthi bazowenza lana. Okokugcina nje sengigcina ngqini, akuthi angazi ukuthi ngempela singakubeka sithini isihlalo. Thina lana kulo mnyango lo wethu sisenkingeni, sinabantu abangafuni ukuyimisela ngokusebenza, and nathi futhi ngibona sangathi sizogcina nathi sesifana nabo, ngoba uma uthi uyabheka la imali zisebenza ngendlela engafanele, uthole ukuthi lezi mali lo muntu kuthi ususpendiwe, lo muntu awazi ususpend isikhathi esingakanani, ubenzeni gqibo salokho kwakhe uzoyani kwaboshwa ba mhlazane kwaboshwa oyedwa osebenze ngendlela engafanele imali yabakhokhi bentela. Kufanele yilesikhathi mhlambe kogcina sekufanele ukuthi ekugcineni babone nabanye abasazongena kuleyo position. Ngiyabonga sihlalo.
If you remember, honorable members, when the risk and audit committee, ne, when they were presenting their report, we said they must come every month and give us a progress report on the things that they've done with the department. So angeke sizisifane nabo mamkhawulo, because thina sibanikizile umlamlajo ukuthi every month bazosinikeza progress report, even the department itself. That's why it's important that when we are writing our recommendations, we must not forget that point, that they must come and report on the outstanding matters. They must come and give us a progress report. All outstanding matters of the department and the risk committee, they must come and give us a progress report. That's why it's important to put time frames in each and every recommendation. On consequence management, you must identify those that need immediate attention, and they must come and give us the ILO, a progress report. So we won't be like them, honorable members. I refuse, in Jesus' name, we are not going to be like them. Continue, Kashifa.
Thank you, Chair. So as we move on to vitamins, which is D on page 39, again, just to highlight there, we had noted, Crystal pointed out to members that 10.1 million was actually moved from Program 2 and 3 to Program 1. And that was for compensation of employees and transfer and subsidies. So for supply chain management, again, the number of invoices that were paid outside the 30-day period, the violation of adherence to the Preferential Procurement Framework Act and Regulation. So in other words, the sum of the goods and services was done with a transaction value below 500,000 were procured without obtaining the required price quotations as required by Treasury Regulation. And I think C was important because we noted that, so despite the review of the supply chain management policy which happened in 16-17, was approved in 17-18, and there were measures in place to certain compliance, the AG still noted that for the year under review there was irregular expenditure of over 4 million. The department indicates that it does not have internal capacity to undertake investigations and will source the services of an external contractor in this regard. So the committee notes with concern on D, the top of page 40, the ARC findings that states that 44 out of 57, which is 77% of transactions related to transactions where approval for deviation was granted in instances where a minimum of 3 quotations could not be obtained from the prospective suppliers by the supply chain management unit. Again, E, The committee concurs with the ARC's recommendation, and that if the committee remains concerned about the perpetual transgressions that occur and the lack of effective consequence management implemented that would deter officials from offending in this regard. For ICT, in terms of 4.4, the committee noted concern the ARC's finding about the ANC governance structure, which was not functioning properly. B, the committee noted the ICT network server funds that were not used for the year under review, yet the server crashed in October 2018. And that C, the committee notes the capacity constraints in ICT and the need to employ requisite personnel. So that was the administration program. So in terms of the core program and service delivery, for A, we note the unmet targets for 18-19, as well as for Q1 for 19-20, that the unmet targets were primarily in the administration program and program 2, and that even Q1, program 2 had performed poorly. In terms of C41, performance outcomes, the committee was concerned that despite the department's intention, it was not addressing the socioeconomic challenges faced by women in the country in order to bring about gender equality, as there was no tangible evidence to prove this, that there were outstanding reports which have yet to be submitted to the committee for consideration. E, in terms of policy and law reform, again, the committee wanting the department to present its work done in this regard. For F, we had noted all the outstanding draft frameworks, that even though it was regarded as a target met, these frameworks were still in draft, and that in the new financial year, Q1 1920, they were still being attended to. For G, monitoring and evaluation, evaluating the impact of government policies. So we commend the department for the conducting the monitoring and evaluation, but the reports have yet to be submitted to the committee for consideration, and we also note the discrepancies within the annual report reflecting these as achievements is concerning. So even though they say they do an M&E framework, but in many instances these things have yet to be finalized. For H, we note that they give inputs into several policy documents, but yet again, we have not received any feedback in this regard. And we're also not clear as to what strategy the department is using on to decide which policy to give input in. In terms of two sanitary dignity, again, we noted the discrepancies within the department's annual report in relation to the fact that it is not a service delivery implementing department, yet within the same document we note on page 41 of the annual report that the provision of sanitary products and the rollout as a key aspect of the sanitary dignity project. So the pads have been distributed to indigent girls through a number of outreach programs and as part of the 365 days program of action. The department had also indicated that Treasury had allocated 157 million, which was then disbursed to provincial treasuries, which was either transferred to the provincial Department of Social Development or Basic Education, and again, that there's no uniformity as to who issues the pads at the provincial level. And so, and bearing in mind that the 157 million is actually more than the department's operating budget for 18-19. In terms of the Women's Financial Inclusion Framework, just the other important thing to note, that around the sanitary dignity, that we spent 7.8 million on developing this framework, which is still draft, which is still needing to be tweaked and finalized for its implementation. In terms of the Women's Financial Inclusion Framework, this framework, Crystal had noted, is not something new. It's come about since 1516, and it still has not been finalized. And that in 1718, the department then noted that it was a target that was achieved, and that in 1819, This framework was developed, but that further consultation will still take place in 1920. So what it shows is that this framework keeps on being cited as achieved, but the following year, further consultation or development will have to happen. And just to conclude around the financial inclusion framework, that for Q1, the department stated that the target for the first quarter could not be achieved, which is the report on the capacity building workshop with the cluster. The reason cited as to why this could not be achieved was that the women's inclusion framework had to be further consulted internally first within the department's various units as per accounting officer's recommendation before it is taken through the government cluster system. So in Q1 they're telling us it's still not done, it needs to be consulted internally, but in 18-19 we're saying it's an achievement.
Thank you, Chair, and my apologies for taking you back. I want to go back to the sanitary dignity program. I think, my biggest concern there was the admission by the department that they are actually failing to coordinate the program in provinces. For instance, there is a document, the framework that is there as a draft. The provinces are actually disregarding the existence of that document and they're implementing the program the way that they feel is implementable for their own custom. They're custom making it to suit their own needs at a provincial level. So I think we need to note that, because for me, as Kashifa has said, that it's quite worrisome that a lot of money has been spent on developing this framework, but it's not being applied, or it's not being used as a guide in implementing the program in provinces where the program is being piloted. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable.
So, Chairperson, just to follow on then, the committee is particularly concerned that is that the department is unable to coordinate the sanitary dignity program in provinces, and the draft sanitary dignity framework in its pilot form is not currently being implemented. Thank you. So we've done the Women's Financial Inclusion Framework. We move now on to the 365 Program of Action Coordinated. So year A, we commend the department for the various initiatives undertaken. But again, the question is, does that translate into visible difference? Different on the ground for women and girl children, and the committee is concerned about that, and whether it actually assesses the impact of these campaigns. In terms of the national dialogues, so we commend the department for actually doing the dialogues, but again, the concern is how, in terms of the issues that are emerging from these dialogues, how these are dealt with, and again, we compare it to the legal clinics where there's a case management system in place. We reiterate the department is not a service delivery entity and therefore we would rely on other departments to take on these referrals. But we have no sense and no clarity as to how many complaints are lodged at these dialogues, where and when, who the complaint was, claimant was, when was it referred to, and if the matter was resolved and how long it took. As we move over to page 44, so we around the NGM, we commend the department for work being done there. 3.56, this is particularly around the Interministerial Committee and the Integrated Program of Action. So the committee notes that in terms of this target, it was this IMC was developed but not approved. the policy is actually led by social development, and when we checked the annual report for social development, we saw, again, that target there was still not achieved, and it was submitted to Cabinet for approval as the process for reviewing it was delayed in order to link the program of action with the GBF summit outcomes. In terms of B, here the issue is around the committee is concerned about how the department links with the interim steering committee, given that there were consultations that were happening, what the role is of our department in terms of the development of the strategic plan, the NSP, as well as the council, because the steering committee is saying it's taking responsibility for those issues. And that in terms of our department's role, our department co-chairs the steering committee. So we needed clarity in this regard. And then in C, of importance to note, the committee was concerned that the proposed national strategic plan is not a target of the department and the development thereof appears to reside with the interim steering committee, which only co-chaired by the department, thus bringing into question who should ultimately be held to account for the development and implementation of the national strategic plan as a lead department. In terms of Program 3, the 25-year review, we commend the department for doing that. But again, we're questioning what's the relationship between that 25-year review and the PRC, given that there were processes underway and the closing date for the PRC, which is led by the President, is March 2020. The report still hasn't been tabled or referred to the committee for consideration, and therefore, but we do acknowledge the department saying they want to brief us on the report. In terms of the DTI incentive scheme, we commend the department for achieving this. We also noted it was done by a consultant, and in relation to that, we had picked up that actually in November 2018, a report was on the evaluation of government business incentive schemes was done by a consultant, and the evaluation steering committee was actually led by DPME, Treasury, Trade and Industry, Science and Technology, Small Business Development, and they had set up a steering committee to oversee that. So the question is, if our department is focusing on a smaller aspect of that and DPME led a national evaluation plan about government business schemes, how do the two link or coincide? In terms of 13.59, the Young Women's and Socioeconomic Empowerment Framework, it's still not fully implemented. It still needs to go for further consultation. In terms of B, we're asking what the link is between that framework, the women's financial inclusion, the gender-responsive budgeting, and also the work of the NYDA, given that the NYDA is now within the ambit of our department. In terms of country reports, we commend the department for the targets achieved, and also note that in terms of multilateral forum reports, there was one outstanding from CSW. B, again, it's not just the submission of country reports. We do know when these reports go to the AU or the UN, these committees make recommendations. And again, it's for us to ascertain how is our department monitoring the outcomes of those reports, recommendations. 13.511, that looks always keeping girls in school. This was one of the monitoring reports our department has done. And again, we note here that actually when we checked on Facebook, this particular project, the last time it actually updated something was 11 months ago. So we're questioning if, yes, the department's done this, but why this NPO? Why are we spending money only looking at an NPO that doesn't have a national reach? Again, for 5.12, we also see the department saying they came up with an M&E framework for sanitary dignity. But it's not clear why the M&E framework is under Program 3 and not with the rest of the Sanity Dignity framework, and why it was only developed at this late stage, given the challenges it's currently having around the implementation in provinces. With 5.13, the country gender indicator framework. This will only actually be fully operational in 2020 as per the annual report of 18-19.
What are you saying in 13.5.12?
So under 5.12, the department says they had developed a monitoring and evaluation framework for sanity dignity. Right? But, so we commend them. However, it's not clear as to why this is a separate from the revised sanity dignity framework. So you have a sanity dignity framework, and then you have a separate monitoring and evaluation framework to look at sanity dignity and why it was developed at this stage, given the challenges the department has noted to the committee on the implementation of this program within and across provinces.
We are not apologetic. This is an issue of women, and the whole value chain must benefit women. Women cooperatives.
I saw
that. So it went.
Understand
what you did. So you make a recommendation.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one we must run on. We're not apologetic. But I'm not satisfied the way it's captured, but I don't know how to put it. Is it necessary for us to ask why is it developed now? What is important is that they have already developed the framework, and they... I'm sure what we are concerned with also is that why is it separated from the... Where is it? The committee commends the department for developing a monitoring and evaluation framework. However, it is unclear why this is separate from the revised sanitary dignity framework. Yeah. I think you can end there. Why should we ask why it's developed already? So I think now we must be concerned about at first there was no guide, a framework on how the funds should be distributed to provinces and how the funds should whether it should go on tender or not or whatsoever, in terms of the process, the whole process of it. Ne? I think that was our main concern. Because you remember there was an example of Limpopo. That was more concerning to us than where this was advertised. And most women co-ops did not benefit from it because there was no clear framework on how this should be attended, should be addressed. So I'm sure Kashifa, there's no need for us to ask why now because they've already done it. Hmm. But I'm sure you can tell me how to say, where is it now?
I took it out, as Chi said.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. And then the side will have a recommendation.
Yeah. So for the county gender indicator framework, we said it will only be fully operational 2021, that they're looking at 65 county gender indicators. But if you look at the number of treaties we need to focus on, it's not clear why we only have so few that they're going to be tracking. In terms of the gender responsive planning, budgetary, monitoring, evaluation and audit framework, in the annual report it says that it was developed, which was approved by Cabinet in March 2019. However, by Q1, the department had noted to the committee in its briefing that development and guidelines and consultations means this framework is not yet fully operational. So it's been cited as an achievement 18-19, but come Q1, the following year, we're saying we're still busy with guidelines, which means it has not yet fully been implemented. The department also indicated to the committee at the briefing of the quarter one report that it has developed a concept paper on the development of guidelines for the framework. Also to note, as Crystal highlighted, that in the previous financial year, it was also cited as a framework, so therefore it gives the impression that it was done. But in 1890, we're seeing it was still being developed. 1920, we're still not seeing it fully implemented. And that C, the department indicated to the committee that these guidelines have come about given that the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation had indicated that the departments have requested guidance on how to implement the proposed gender-responsive framework. However, this points more to not only a lack of understanding of the framework, but also its effectiveness if at the onset departments are unable to implement it. So in other words, DPME is saying departments can't implement it, they want guidelines. So it's actually telling us the very framework that they put together that they were doing for the past 2 or 3 years and longer, people are not understanding. And if you don't understand it and you're asking for more information, it means you can't implement it. In terms of CGE matters,
khona into encane nje ngifuna ukuyithola lana kundila ku 47 kwi la kukhulunywa khona ilokhuzana ku monitoring evaluation framework which law was approved by cabinet March 2019. Ngifuna ukubuza lana esihlalo ukuthi angazi noma uyahlala ecabinet noma uhlala. No, yazi ngishiso yini. Ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi ngabe icabinet iyazi ukuthi lezi zinto ehlala ehlalayo izibheke izi-approve ukuthi ziyaya kubantu. Kukhona lana egcina ibona khona ukuthi aziyi. Uma ibona ukuthi lezi zinto aziyi kubantu, i-approvile, yisiphi isinyathelo eyayisithatha. Noma-ke nawe uma ukhona ukwazi ukubatshela day, sinenkinga lana siyazama pusha le nqola but ayiyi. Ngibuyela kule nto adishiwa umhlonishwa laphayana le yama-sanitary towel. Ngempela sinenkinga lana, i-cabinet iyahlala phansi ikhulume iqede kuyoku-treasure akhiphe imali ukuthi kuhanje kokwenza umsebenzi on the ground, but ekugcineni lezi zinto azenzeki. Ngabe yini, ngoba namanje ngeke ngakushiya umyalwazi umbuzo wami olenga ukuthi yiziphi iy'nyathelo efanele abe zithathelwa la bantu, bafanele baboshwe laba bantu. Ngoba ekugcineni i-cabinet I'm sure ifana njengathi la esifuna ukubona umsebenzi wenzeka.
Eyokuqala mamkhawula kule monitoring and evaluation framework for sanitary dignity program ufuna yona ubokhuluma ngayo nje, yile bengikhuluma ngayo njengamanje ukuthi if uyakhumbula ngalela langa bakhuluma ngokuthi akuka bokungana framework, imali yayibhajethiwe yayiswa kuma province wonke, kodwa okwenzakele ukuthi i-province ne-province beyizenzelwe okwayo bokungana uniformity. So manje into eyenzakele sekhona indlela eyenziwe ukuthi bafanele bakusebenzise kanjani wonke ama provinces, kodwa thina esishoyo siyi-portfolio committee ukuthi this whole program it must benefit women. When we say women, we mean young women and women who are disabled, the whole value chain, with starting from manufacturing, supplying of ama sanitary dignity packs, it must benefit our women. It must not benefit companies that are not women, because this program is meant for to address the issue of supplying ama sanitary pads to young women, young girls at schools.
and abantu who are disadvantaged. So that's why we are saying this program, the whole of it, the whole value chain, it must benefit our women. Leyo ke ukuthi ba divide kanjani ukuthi sithi abakhubazekile sisabancane ama young women mama, but as long as it shall benefit our women. So starting from manufacturing, supplying, and so on. In fact, Tina, we were saying we don't want it to go like your tenderation, but bafaka ama requirements as a yenza ukuthi our own disadvantaged groups must not qualify. We want it ukuthi yenze show ukuthi our own disadvantaged groupings, they qualify. So that's what we said in the portfolio committee. So that's why it's important ukuthi nathi ama cooperatives omama they must participate in this program. I think ngizamile ukuyichaza ne. Ngizamile. Okay.
Ngiyabonga sihlalo sibeka kamnandi. And into engithanda kwena, you are always angazi bazongithatha kanjani, but ngikubona sengathi unayo lento yokubheka indlela abantu besifazane ngokwama-groups abo ukuthi ngempela basacindezelekile. Ngoba kuyimanje, yes, ngiyakwazi uyakusho lokho, but kuzofuna kwenziwe show ukuthi lezi esixoxa ngazo singagcina ukuyixoxa siyibone zenzeka, ngoba akhona vele ama-cooperative abantu besifazane. Ilele mhlawumbe zobuyena nakule nto akangisho ukuthi fana nasey'koleni, ey'koleni akhona ama-cooperative, kodwa ubona kuqhamuka abantu besilisa bakwenye indawo bazonikezwa. Kuthi laba abantu abakhona la mhlawumbe next door besikole abagada nokuthi nanka amasela ayagqekeza, abakwazi ukuthola ukuthi kuthiwa ayi awuthathe nanti tender, awukwazi ukuphekela iy'ngane la, uyayibona loo nto. And thina abantu besifazane funeka sibonakale ukuthi ngempela nathi sabantu, hayi le nto ukuthi sigcina sogcina nje kukhulunywa ukuthi hayi senzelwa abantu besifazane, kodwa ekugcineni abantu besifazane abatholi. Yabona nje ubala nje ukuthi i-youth, even i-youth le engasebenzi ingakwazi, ngoba siyaya kibona sibatshedezana ama-cooperative sihlalo, bayawenza mase befanele bethole imisebenzi abasayitholi. Okungenani bogcina sebebelethe kwabanye abantu benze le nto ekuthiwa ukufranta. Uthole ukuthi umuntu nayo ilokhu zane uyakukhombisa ifayile yakhe, profile yakhe, egcineni ma usuyalandela hayi bo eyomuntu lo ngafanele nongabe uyavela la. Ake sibone nathi sihlalo ngempela sabantu besifazane sihleli la sikhululeke sibabone abantu bakithi. Ngiyayibonga le nto eyishoyo, ngiyabonga.
In fact, you have touched one issue that is very important, the issue of fronting. I think you need to discourage our people from fronting, because this program is intended to empower them economically. So if they are going to front, that means it does not address the objective. So maybe what we'll need to do, we must also talk to each department to how then do they put a clause that will talk to the issue of fronting. Okay, continue, Kashifa.
Thank you, Chi. We're on page 48 around the CGE. Just to highlight some general matters, the significant amount of targets achieved, which was 88%. The committee commends the commission for another unqualified audit opinion. We also note under E the findings and the recommendations of the AG that there were some findings that are the same as the previous financial year, and the commission was urged to resolve findings made by the Auditor General.
I just wanted to maybe ask a question. I haven't seen the recommendations in regards to CGE, so I could be going over the cuff here. But I don't know if it makes sense for us to immediately straight to the point state that, you know, CGE has not received or is lacking the financial resources to be successful in the work that they are doing in communities. Because I think the one thing they've said to us on a continuous basis as a committee is to say that they do not have the requisite finances to do their job adequately and meaningfully. So I think as a committee that on a number of occasions have agreed to assist the CGE or to at least help them motivate for more funds so that they are able to go into the communities and do the work that they need to do, in particular while we're facing the crisis that we're facing with, you know, GBV in this country and a whole range of other issues affecting different groups. Should we not, I don't know if it's more of a recommendation, but should we not perhaps as our own observation state that this department as a separate point is struggling financially? Not struggling financially, but is could be given more money to do the job that it requires to do as a first point to show the agency.
In fact, we said it in the meeting. It needs to be captured. Kashifa, you need to edit and make a recommendation because it's important. And it's only us who can assist ECGE to be funded adequately, because this is one of the Chapter 9 institutions that is not funded adequately like other Chapter 9 institutions. So, especially this time, it's important to that the National Treasury should review how they fund, they allocate resources to ECGE. So, we'll have that one, Honorable Mpit, because we've agreed, we said it, we have noted, and we have raised the concern, and we even made a recommendation. It's going to be added.
Thank you, Chair. So under Finance D, the committee acknowledged the immense strain placed on the CGE's budget in trying to give effect to its mandate. So that's the observation. In terms of HR for CGE, page 49, we note the vacancy rate was 16%. We note the DC cases. We also note the issue around the turnover of staff. And again, it's about the remuneration of packages and how the CGE can't necessarily match because of the different funding assigned to it as the CGE as compared to other Chapter 9s. In D, the committee also queried whether the Commission employed people with disabilities as part of its staff complement. In terms of the program 50 for case management, we note what the key issues are in terms of case management and in terms of the cases picked up between 18-19 and 17-18. For maternal health, we note the work done by the committee and the need for a conferral with PC on health in this regard. In terms of GBV, that the CGE follow up on the issues that it identified in 18-19 and looks at the strategy for the next 5 years to deal with matters pertaining to the summit and the president's announcement or pronouncement of an emergency plan. That in terms of the training initiatives it's doing, the SAPs on the handling of sex workers, it commended it. It would be important for the committee to establish from the CGE how this will be sustained and rolled out nationally given this resource and financial constraints. In terms of the work around shelter, which is D, we commend that. We need to do a conferral with the Portfolio Committee on Social Development, and that for the CGE to follow up with the Department on Social Development both nationally and provincially on the outcomes of the report. For E, mining, again, we commend the work of the CGE here and the need for conferral with the PC on mineral resources. In terms of transformation in institutions of higher learning, again, the need for a referral with the PC on higher education and follow-up with the Department of Higher Education. With law reform, we commend the DCG for what it's doing, that it needs to track what of its recommendations are being incorporated. Again, the same as the litigation, for the committee to keep up to date in terms of the outcome, gender mainstreaming and training. Essentially, here we're asking for a systematic approach to training at a municipal level should be considered, and how to link the National School of Government, as they have a module around mainstreaming in the public service, which is focused on middle and senior management. In terms of treaty compliance, we commend the department for the participation on all those international forums, and that the committee needs to look at the department's country gender indicator framework, and assessment in this regard would be important. So in other words, we're noting that the CGE hasn't looked at our department's framework for looking at treaty compliance. In terms of K, women in correctional centres, we note what the concerns are, and it would be important for the committee to ascertain from the CGE what the strategy is it intends embarking on to address the findings in the research report. In terms of women's representation and participation in the traditional sector, we commend the CGE's work in this regard. And again, that there's follow-up that needs to be done in terms of what the key findings were. In terms of M, Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities, the committee notes the department, that the CGE, not the department, the CGE did not have a dedicated focus on the monitoring and evaluation of the department's programs and initiatives during the year under review to assess the extent to which the department has given effect to its mandate. And that was the member's concern, was CGE, you're focusing on all the other departments, but what are you doing in terms of the Department for Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities? So in terms of recommendations...
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not sure if it can be... what I'm about to propose can be a recommendation or just an observation. But I think that CGE has neglected a particular group of women in society, and that is sex workers. These women are abused every day. As Professor Franzo from the Vet Reproductive Health Institute noted, that sex workers, especially women, are abused, assaulted, and are even blackmailed by the police. They are being killed every day. And the most painful part of it is that they can't report their cases to the police because what they are doing is unlawful or is illegal. So maybe the CGE can call for, can submit or make law reform submissions to the Department of Justice calling for the decriminalization of prostitution in South Africa. Because as many health organizations such as the South African HIV Clinician Society, which is the biggest organization of doctors treating HIV in South Africa, have said that if you legalize prostitution, we can prevent many diseases and we can protect and ensure that the rights of women on the streets are being protected. So I think we have to look into that, because at the end of the day...
Not now, because that one is subject to debate. Yeah, no, it's not in this report now.
Okay.
Now we're dealing with BRRR. Those things that you're talking about, they can be looked at in the next financial year, because now we're dealing with what they said they are going to do in the APP and their strategic framework. So it's not going to be added now.
Can I also assist, Chair? And I think it may be, I don't say it's wrong, but we can't say that CGE has neglected sex work, because I know for a fact that they've done extensive studies on decriminalization of sex work, and they've got reports. If we actually maybe go to their website, we'll find reports and that has recommendations. So there is work that is done by the CGE. What we need to do, Chair, is that maybe moving forward, we can ask them to bring those reports and we can engage them further as a committee on the issue of decriminalization of sex work. Thanks, Chair.
I know what they are, they've done work on decriminalization of ilokojana. Sex workers, but what? That's why I was saying the other things that Honorable Ngobo is talking about. They need a lot of debate. So that's why I was saying, let's focus on what they have said now. Ne? Yeah, because there's a lot of work that they have done, Bona. You can continue, Kashifa. We must also check time, ne?
So just to highlight, under the GBB observation, Honorable Bimba, for C, CG has done work around sex work in the year 1890, and their focus was on training around SAFS officials on the underhanding of sex workers. So our thing is they need to keep us updated, tell us about progress in this regard, and look at the sustained way in which they're going to do training throughout the country, because they've got limited resources, so how are they possibly going to train each and every police officer? Moving on to the recommendations. So the committee, in terms of the mandate of the department, it's concerned about the department's ability to give effect to its mandate and therefore urges the department to engage with all key stakeholders in this regard to look at addressing this matter given the expanded mandate, that it ensures effective planning with regards to its APP, and that it's not changed. C, it utilizes its budget optimally in order to give effect to its mandate within the program allocation. The committee strongly recommends that the department ensures that all its targets and programs are aligned to the NDP and MTSF outcomes. 14.2, in terms of the audit action plan, the committee recommends that the department develop an audit action plan and that they implement the recommendations for the AG and improve the impact results. And that all action plans should be submitted to the committee with a second quarter report for 1920, not 1819, before the 5th of November. The committee recommends the department should monitor and evaluate the implementation of action plan and progress reports to the committee on a monthly basis until the end of the 2019 financial year. C, departments report monthly to the committee on progress with regards to implementing recommendations for the AG, Audit Risk Committee, and DPME. A clear explanation should be provided in instances where recommendations have not been implemented for what the remedial action is, as well as identifying where the key persons responsible for implementing recommendations must be submitted to the committee. The committee recommends the department provides a detailed list of names of the officials who have contravened the PFMA, Treasury Regulations, Supply Chain Management during 1819, indicate the nature of the contravention, cost incurred, consequent management by the respective manager, and whether there have been repeat offenders. We must provide quarterly reports on the consequent management it will take to remedy the poor performance of members at the SMS level. In terms of financial performance, in terms of in-year monitoring, that needs to continue on a quarterly basis. Spending trends, that we need to, the department must monitor this and needs to adhere to its strategic plan and APP. It must provide detailed reports. The financial report should clearly indicate the purpose of activity as it relates to objectives outlined in the APP and the expenditure incurred. So where there's international events, we must note the size of the delegation, the travel and subsistence, and that importantly the committee urges the department to utilize the budget allocated to Program 2 and 3 effectively and plan accordingly in order to do this. The APP must be costed appropriately and with these activities, though they should indicate what the cost of these activities are. In terms of irregular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful, we expect a comprehensive report on the investigations for 18-19, and that what we require out of these from the report, and an action plan to prevent irregular expenditure through a skills audit, training, skills development, consequent management. That in terms of investigations, to await outcomes in the report in this regard and for briefing until matters are concluded at every quarterly briefing. In terms of unauthorized expenditure, they urge to follow up with COPA and report back to the committee. Vitamins, the department's urge to avoid vitamins from the core program to administration. And in the event that it's done, that needs to be brought to the attention of the committee for discussion during quarterly report briefings. Internal control and risk, we ask for detailed report on the implementation of risk management controls. We concur with the ARC findings. We require the Audit and Risk Committee to brief the committee in the second quarter of 1920, which is on the 5th of November, and to identify challenges and recommendations made. That we ask the department to provide a detailed outline of the measures in place to strengthen internal control and risk management, and that the committee should be briefed on the risk mitigation measures it has applied to ensure that targets are reached within the core program. In terms of the AG and Audit and Risk Committee, they should continue to monitor implementation of the AG recommendations, intervene when necessary with the senior management of the department, and report to the committee on a quarterly basis in this regard. The committee will in turn provide the ARC with feedback. The ARC to submit its quarterly report to the committee for consideration after every meeting it has with the department. In terms of HR, the organogram, the committee requests the department to submit a detailed organogram for the department, which clearly indicates funded and unfunded positions, posts established in addition to the establishment per program to clearly illustrate what the capacity constraints are. Vacancies, all of these key funded vacancies should be filled within the time allocation. And in the next 6 months, permanent appointment for DG, Finance, Supply Chain Management, Internal Audit, as well as ICT and the core programs. These should be prioritized. For resignations, dismissals, and termination of contacts, we require a written report and a contingency plan should be developed to focus on staff retention. For performance management, for the heads of Program 2 and 3, quarterly reports on consequence management for non-delivery of targets with a clear indication of the remedial action implemented. Each program and sub-program will be required to present to the committee on a bi-monthly basis, and maybe that should be a quarterly basis as opposed to bi-monthly, bi-annually. Will it be quarterly or bi-annually? Because shouldn't be bi-monthly. So in other words, program 2 and 3, we want them to come back to the committee and report more regularly and not just have an overview of performance for the entire. So would she and the committee want this on a quarterly basis or twice a year? In terms of long-standing suspension, where there's a long-standing suspension, should be filled permanently in the next 6 months, and that the suspension should be dealt with expeditiously and reported on every month until resolved. The use of consultants, again, the department must indicate what measures the department would implement to avoid the use of consultants in future, and when they use consultants, skills transfer must occur with consultants to ensure that our department staff are capacitated. In terms of the top-heavy structure, the committee recommends that department indicates how it intends utilizing its top-heavy structure more optimally to ensure that targets are met rather than using consultants. The committee also recommends that programs 2 and 3, which encompass the core delivery mandates of the department, be capacitated. The committee welcomes an opportunity to engage with the department on a strategic plan and a granogram structure going forward. Governance. The committee reiterates the importance of complying to the PFMA and Treasury regulations. The department report on how it deals with transgressors and what remedial action is taken, and this should be presented in the quarter reports. For the year under review, the committee recommends the department submits a report clearly outlining the officials that have contravened the PFMA by authorizing transactions that should have been done by the accounting officer. The committee remains concerned about the non-compliance and adherence to laws. It should consider including specific key performance indicators and targets that addresses compliance to laws and prescripts. The committee recommends that the department report on forensic investigations referred to by the AG to be submitted to the committee on completion and the committee to be briefed on progress with regards to new investigations underway. In terms of supply chain, the committee recommends the department finds a monthly report to supply chain management deviations and transgressions and what action steps are taken against officials who fail to comply with supply chain management policies. Where deviations were allowed, the motivation hereto should be clearly stipulated. The department should consider identifying a specific key performance indicator which targets pertaining to supply chain management in its APP for 2020-21. In terms of the investigation, the committee recommends the department briefs it at the Q2 briefing for 19-20 on the outcome of investigations that have been completed for 17-18 and indicate what progress has been made in terms of implementing recommendations and consequent management. Furthermore, the department is expected to brief the committee on progress with regards to investigations currently underway. 14-8, again, it's just to reiterate the importance of the SMART principle and having targets that are SMART and to desist from embarking on activities that do not fall within its mandate and are more service delivery orientated. In terms of collaboration, the committee recommends the department to ensure improved collaboration with CGE and all other relevant organs of state as well as civil society. It should explore how its proposed national dialogues can be linked to CGE's legal clinics. The committee requests a plan that outlines how the department collaborates with key stakeholders with regards to amended gender mainstreaming with a specific focus on GBVF. The committee recommends that specific emphasis should be placed on developing relationships with GFPs, with government departments, premier's offices, OSWs, mayor's offices and municipalities. In terms of the country gender indicator framework, that it should be presented to the committee along with the 65 indicators, and that it should present all findings on analysis and monitoring evaluations it undertakes. To this end, reports compiled should be referred to the committee for consideration. In terms of events and campaigns, the committee should be informed in advance. It should provide the committee with report of all initiatives undertaken, again, just detailing the purpose and the outcome, number of intended beneficiaries, and how these resolutions will be implemented. A year plan must be submitted of all key events with forecasted costs. In terms of gender-responsive planning, that framework must be submitted to the committee for consideration. And then what progress has been made by the departments in implementing this framework, the department should report back in this regard, as well as submit the guidelines for consideration to the committee. And this is the guidelines for implementing the gender-responsive framework. In terms of GFPs, again, update the committee on the progress with DPSA insofar as the GFPs are concerned, and its working relationship with departments in terms of treaty compliance. Department should ensure that country reports are submitted within the specified time frames to the reporting bodies. It should report back to Parliament on feedback received, the action plans developed in this regard, as well as progress in terms of implementing the recommendations, and that all reports must be presented. That the committee recommends that the department must present all reports to be presented at the international level to the committee at least 1 month before it undertakes the international trip. In terms of legislation and policy reform, the committee recommends the department should brief the committee on gaps identified within policies and laws on a regular basis. It must table all its reports that it's developed on a quarterly basis. That the department should brief the committee on its policy position with regards to gender mainstreaming and clearly indicate what, if any, changes are required to the existing national gender policy framework. In terms of outstanding responses and reports, these should be submitted to the committee. The committee recommends that the department must submit all reports within 30 days of completion for consideration. The committee recommends that the department submit all documentation for at least for a meeting, at least 7 working days in advance. And if they can't do so, the committee should be informed. In terms of GBVF, making sure that the size of the font is right. Sorry. The committee requests the department to brief it on the relationship between the Interim Steering Committee and the department insofar as the development of the strategic plan is concerned, as well as the National Council on GBV. We also request a list of names of all those represented in the Interim Steering Committee. The committee requests the department to submit the draft National Strategic Plan for consideration and for the Interim Steering Committee to present the outcomes of the inputs from civil society. The committee requests that the department provide an update on progress with regards to the establishment on the council, and the committee requests the department to provide a costing for the implementation of both the National Strategic Plan and the National Council on GBV. In terms of Sanitary Dignity Program, the committee recommends that the department ensure that women and persons with disabilities benefit from the whole value chain. The committee requests that the department briefs members on the Sanitary Dignity Framework and its M&E framework. The committee recommends that the department reports back on its monitoring and evaluation of the rollout of the Sanitary Dignity Program in provinces and its budgetary allocation. In terms of the CGE, for that it develops an audit action plan and it's presented at the second quarterly report, that it maintains tight control of its fiscus in terms of contract management, that the CGE should report back to the committee on what internal control measures have been implemented to deal with the management of terminated contracts more prudently. In terms of governance, it should continue to comply with legislation and national treasury regulations. The CGE should inform the committee what actions have been taken to deal with transgressors of policies and laws and overall poor performance delivery. This should be reported back to the committee within quarterly reports. In terms of program performance, the CGE should continue to monitor and evaluate the impact and outcome of the initiatives it implements. It should explore training and mentorship initiatives as a means of capacity building to strengthen government institutions or the National School of Government. The CGE is encouraged to develop a coordination plan of training initiatives and awareness raising and report back to the committee on a quarterly basis in this regard. The CGE should continue to provide the committee with an account of performance of commissioners on a quarterly basis, and this should also be reflected in the 2021 Annual Performance Plan and Report. In terms of National Treasury, the CGE's funding model should be aligned with the rest of Chapter 9 institutions, in particular the Public Protector, to enable it to optimally give effect to its mandate. The CGE should be provided with additional funds in order to retain existing staff and attract new staff. Specific emphasis should be placed on the funding of staff for legal clinics, public education and information, communication and legal support. To this end, provinces with the largest caseload should be prioritized where officers require additional support. What we have also done is provided a summary of reporting requests. what should be, in terms of actual reports that we should be given to either by the department or the CGE, where we require a briefing or a written report, and that's with regards to the quarter report, the audit action plan, forensic investigations, deviations, HR, the women's inclusion framework, young women's empowerment framework, the gender responsive framework, country reports and impact reports on events and initiatives, as well as the commissioner's performance per quarter. And in conclusion, the committee will continue to stringently monitor the department with respect to the implementation of recommendations made by the AHG, as well as the Audit and Risk Committee. Thus, the committee urges the department to take its recommendations seriously and implement these expeditiously. Report to be considered.
Yeah, thank you very much, honorable members, and to our researchers. I think we have captured all our recommendations accordingly. Can we get a mover for the adoption of the report? Honorable Masondo.
Thank you, Chairperson.
I
Thabile Sylvia Masondo move the adoption of the report as true reflection of what transpired after we have deliberated all the items included. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Seconda? Mam Sema?
I, Magdalena Duduzile Hlengwa, second the move of the adoption of the report. I thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Our report has been adopted by the portfolio committee. And what is the next item? Minutes. Okay, let's get to the minutes of last week, ne? The three sets of minutes, the 8th, the 9th, and the 15th of October. Last week's one. Oh, it's when we were there at the Pepper Club Hotel. Okay. Page 1. Page 2, at least now they've captured correct the freedom fighters. Page 3. Page 3, the committee welcomed the presentation of the AG and the simple manner in which it was presented. Kashifa, Crystal, read the minutes and read page 3. As long as in general. If it's correct, page 3. Write it correctly. Simple manner, no. You can say the way they have simplified their presentation. Yeah.
presentation of the AG and the manner in which they simplified their presentation. Page 4. This is the manner in which they have simplified their presentation. Page 4. Page 5. Number 5, the chair closure. The chairperson thanked the members of the committee and the commission and AXA for... There's too much tautology.
I would say the chairperson thanked the members of the committee, comma, CGE, is it CGE or the ARC? Yeah. Comma, the CGE and AGSA for participating in the meeting. Oh, there's also support staff. Okay, so I would say the chairperson thanked the members of the committee, comma, the CGE, comma, the support staff, and the AGSA for participating in the meeting, full stop.
Okay, those were the three corrections that I saw. Is there any correction? Crystal, leave your phone. I said read the minutes. Okay, can I get a mover for the adoption of the minutes? Okay, Honorable Mpiti and Honorable Masiko. With the amendments, eh? Minutes of the 9th, page 1, must do scanning and skimming. Page 2. First opening remarks. The chairperson officially opened the meeting and welcomed members of the committee, officials from the department, and ARC. The following apologies were received from Honorable Maluleka, you know, these are minutes. The following apologies were received from Honorable Maluleka, Piri, Beigo Pierasond. The apology. Azang, but I'm going to apologize. There was no apology. Don't do this. Beigo Pierasond. Or Nizil, Babungaba Bokona went. Was there any apology, Honorable Son? No. There was no apology. I even asked Mam Kaula. I even spoke to Mam Kaula. because I had a concern about the apology. So why was I asking Mom Kaul? Maybe you're confusing me things. Honorable Ngobo, did you hear it? Honorable Masondo, did you hear that apology? No. Honorable Mamsango, did you hear that apology? To comment. Honorable Masiko.
Chair, I specifically remember she had two apologies, and then I added an extra two.
Extra 2 years.
Ama apologies.
Yeah,
I added the apology ka Honorable Hlongo and Honorable
appointment when I get a doctor foot.
But when the meeting started, I was there.
Yeah, but no, it's not that meeting.
Oh, it's not that meeting. Okay.
Yeah. You are confusing me things, Honorable Whip. Mina, I remember I raised a concern with Mom Kaul that day. So I disagree with this apology. Yes. Paper clap. I want to make a bomb. I made two love long at the seven. Yeah, bomb. Asali, you and Amanda, I said, even if you are sending a sick note, but apology must be written. Okay, it's the rule of parliament. It's not the honorable Ntlantlang Mubenda. Manje, this one, unless we are wrong, Neliswa, would bonisa mina a sick note. Mina, I don't need a sick note. Ngifunis apology, ye member. Angisho honorable members. Angifunu kubona ukuthi sick note. Ngifuna, I'm not a doctor. I need a formal apology for a member would to be absent in the meeting. When the moment is on 7 o'clock, my members will fight with you. Because Mina, I will disagree with you. So that you learn to do your work properly. Page 3. Yeah. So in the seventh, right. My members, when they send apologies, she must write it formally. Page 4. Why? By the way, to the committee, then the department for the presentation. Why? Include the minutes. Are you consistent? What I'm asking Uneli, so she has written here, which the committee thanked the department for the presentation as a bullet. So I'm asking whether she's consistent. Why is she writing that? Because, you know, when you write minutes, you must be consistent. You can't write in this minute and then in other minutes you don't write. You see, I'm doing my skimming and scanning here. I'll remove it and do it on page 3.
and mobile 126,000, umbhalo correct. Is it 126,000 or million? You, when you write ama figures for ama monies, you must write according to what is written in the report. Ne? You must check a reporting what how did they write the yes. If it's right written correctly, it's fine. Three. Christelle write 126. Yeah, insulting. Hmm. Page 4. Now the mic is super. Page 5. And I hope my resolutions you have captured. Crystal, what is it? Tell me, what did she write?
No, she just under program 2 on the top of page 4. It should just say 99.4% of the budget.
Where?
Where it says program 2 on the top of page 4.
Okay.
The committee noted that only 1 out of 5 targets planned in program 2 was achieved, but 99.4% of the budget was spent.
And then she writes 99.4 million. Okay. Okay, page 5, page 6. Which other one, Tasnim? Honorable Sheriff?
Thank you, Chair. What I've noticed with these minutes is that it just outlines what the committee has said, but it doesn't outline what the department's responses are. Now, if we need to hold them accountable, we must record what their responses are. It doesn't help that we only record what we asked. We know what we asked, but we need to also record what the committee, well, what the department has said, so that we can, because minutes are legal documents, which means that we can hold people to account from what they said as recorded in the minutes. Now, we can't do this if we don't know what the department says. We only know what the committee says in these minutes. So I don't think it's very helpful.
Okay. Oh, Crystal, how do you write them here in Parliament like this? You don't write what they respond. That's how you write it. Okay, but if we want to make them accountable, you go and retrieve Hansard. Okay. Okay. Do you hear what she said?
I heard what's said, Chair, but that doesn't help us as a committee.
You feel that in, they must write
in actual fact, then, what we would need then is, instead of getting minutes, is getting hand-signed copies, because that will be able to say exactly what happened in the meeting. Minutes is a reflection of what happened in the meeting, not a regurgitation of what committee members have said. So I don't agree with that, and I think that to help us move forward, our minutes must be more inclusive of what exactly happened in the meeting and not just verbatim of what we said.
Okay. It's fine. Because when we write, when they write, they only capture committee resolutions, you know, and they've been doing it for a long time. I think it's Parliament format, but maybe what we need to do, we can... Okay. okay, what we're gonna do? We'll want Nelly, so when she captures our minutes, also write the responses. But remember, our responses, they are very long. You know, sometimes we disagree even with them when they respond to some of the things. But I'm sure we must find a way on how then do we write down the, maybe when they write minutes, she must also write a response on the site so that we can have a record on what is it that they've responded to. Because sometimes, remember, we ask them a long list of questions, and sometimes they don't even respond to all our questions. What I would want to recommend to the committee is that on issues that we say you have not responded, we must make follow-ups. Nelisa must make sure that she makes follow-ups on all the issues. You remember even in the last meeting I said to them, you still owe us answers in some of the questions. I think it's high time that this time, Nelisa, you must make follow-up on all the issues that Kashifa, even yourself, you are capturing. Make follow-ups on, write to the department, whether it's department or CGE or NYDA, on issues that are outstanding that they haven't responded to. They must still give us the response. But I'm sure it's not a train smash. Neliswa can still capture their response.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for taking that into consideration. You said that the minutes should capture the resolutions, but these minutes don't necessarily capture the resolutions. It's basically summaries of what questions were asked by the committee. So if we're going to ask, for example, the Young Women's Empowerment, it was the committee queried what the link was between this and the woman inclusion and the NYDA. I mean, we know we asked that, but what was the outcome? Well, what did the committee, well, what did the department say? I mean, I can't remember everything the department says, so I need it to be captured somewhere so we can look and hold them accountable. In terms of, Chair, what you were saying about outstanding, this is why I had asked for matters arising to be tabled with every single minute we have, so that we are able to chronologically, in order, see what is missing and see what is outstanding and what has been submitted. Without matters arising, we won't lose track of what we ask for, and then we'll end up not getting it. And the department is very used to taking years and years and years to do anything, and so we must hold them accountable, and that's why matters arising and properly structured minutes is very important so that we are able to do that.
No, there's nothing wrong. When we're dealing with minutes, you can raise matters arising.
Yeah, I may be young, but my memory is not that amazing. So it's difficult for me to remember exactly what we asked the department for, but if we capture it with the researchers and with Neliswa, if she captures it, then we are able to write it, just like the previous matters arising that Kashifa had given us. It was brilliant, it was excellent, but we just need to continue with that so we can upkeep what we have received and what we haven't. And I wish my memory was better, Chair, but I'm not.
I'm sorry, but ingakho kufanele ukuthi zonke izinto uma uyikhuluma noma uyibuza uyibhale phansi noma uyifake ekhanda ngoba sogcina lo mntana sesimthwalisa umsebenzi ongaphezu kwakhe. Ayikho into emnandi ukusebenza emsebenzini ukhululekile. Mina ngokwami angikamboni, angisho ukuthi wrong, but ngokwami ngisabona kuright la. Ake silungiseni la siqede oba okuqala sifuna ukuhamba manje siya kwi-house.
Okay. Okay, Kashifa.
Thank you, Chairperson, members. I think for all three of us, including Neliswa, our biggest challenge is that many a times the department does not answer the questions members pose in the way that you need to. So even in terms of the responses, like the question, say what the link is between all these three frameworks, they provide a theoretical explanation of what these things mean, but they don't actually say where the link is. So when it comes to our minutes, we, in terms of the responses, sometimes it would just be, it won't actually answer what you're looking for. So Crystal and I were talking, and that maybe the better way is to actually ask the department to give a response in writing. So as much as, so there's a verbal response, but that we require a formal committed response in paper. So that's how we can actually track, because between...
No, you're right.
Because many a times we sit here and we assist members in knowing what you need to ask. So members ask the right questions, but when the response comes, we're still waiting for the answer. And yeah, and there isn't a follow-up from members then to say always, but you still haven't answered the question. So maybe to save us is a consideration that the department then responds in writing to the key issues that members have raised, and that we give them a time frame, so that also, because the moment they commit in paper, a member then can say, well, in terms of response dated on this and this date, this is what you said. So then it doesn't become a to and fro about what was said in the meeting as opposed to a formal response in writing.
Yeah,
so
maybe for the purpose of tracking and tracing.
Sidlule kahle kulenoba manje ngiyabona nami ngizama ukuthi ukulungisa amatomato akhuphuka manje ngizama ukuwabhekisa phansi. Ngiyabonga Kachip, exactly nje buyishola. Le nto ifana nama-question uma ngiwabuza la. Abakunika ama-question lawo awafunayo. Instead of bakunika bayakudivert abakunika ngale. Same apply nakule nto member statement, the parliament inside. Abakuniki le nto osuka kade uyibuza. Baqhamuka bakunika into. Yingakho kubalulekile into ekuthina as member of parliament. Ubhale umnikeze ukuthi nakho ngicela impendulo. Mina ngenze njalo. Mhlambe mina ngineliswe uqolo ngiyamsebenzisa mina. Ngineliswe nakho ade ngihambile ngokwezi oversight. Nakho engitholile ngicela kuya kulo mnyango kufakwa kanjalo njalo enye ngize ngithi akuziye ngisho kusihlala. Otherwise ayikho into la nozoyithola. Thina ufuna sifunde manje ukubaphusha ngenkani ngoba otherwise labandla ayikho into abokusiza ngayo. Kuphela nje nolo silizwa nalo ulwa nalo into engekho. Wena kanye as member of parliament ufuna ukubhale kanje ukuthi mi or neliswa mi hamba ukunikezele lo nawe usale nekhophi.
Can I get a mover for the adoption of this minute? Honorable Mukweba.
Thanks, Chair. Moving the minutes with amendments. Thanks.
And then, good closure, you'll correct as we have done in the previous minute. Can I get a seconder? Oh, Mam Sengwa?
Magdalene Duduzile Sengwa, I second the amendment minutes.
Thank you very much. Our minutes of the 9th October have been adopted and seconded by honourable members. We are on the minutes of the 15th October. Page 1, page 2, can I get a mover?
Sorry, Chair.
Yeah.
Sorry, page 1, under apologies, and then you go to opening and welcome. Apologies were read on behalf of Ms. Masego, Mr. Mpiti, and Ms. Sharif, who could not attend the meeting due to various reasons. So other members are not longer included under opening and welcome, those who had apologized. If you're looking at the apologies.
Oh, yes. In fact, Honorable MPT came when we were just attending the meeting. But the apology yakhe was read. Honorable Sharif was attending a business meeting for Parliament, Kusadek. Oh, was summarizing. You mean she summarized?
Yes.
Okay. Honorable Ngob, that's how they write my apologies. They went on.
Okay.
Yeah, wanna la. Because if we had to discuss even the opening remarks of the chair, remember I even mentioned that Honorable Sharif is representing us in SADC, so it will still be here. But I think the way they are capturing Amamini Swabo, but I'm trying to Nelly, so you must try and just question you if I can show it. Yeah, especially when members are representing us going to the parliament business, you know. And now, I don't know, I want to make a sick in it, and I want to sick. And, but, oh, no, it's fine. Okay, can I get a mover for the adoption of this minutes? With amendments, as we have said, in the previous minutes. So abantu bebakhona la uhlongo Maluleka Mamkhawula Mgweba. Oh, okay.
Ngiyabonga Sihlalo. I adopt the minutes of the 15th of October with the amendments that were made. Thank you.
Okay, the Honorable Hlongo is moving for the adoption of the minutes. Second, Mamkhawula.
Sibongile Khawula, ngiyasekhonda.
Okay, the minutes. Uhlongo. The minutes of the 15th October 2019 have been adopted and seconded. Have been adopted by this meeting. And I think we have come to the last item of this meeting. What is the last item? Announcement and closure. Thank you very much, honorable members, for your participation in our BRRR reports, and the meeting is adjourned. Oh, sorry. Or see you the next time. Ne?
Okay, that's fine.
Next week. Is it okay? Yeah. Ne? Next week. Yeah. I'm sorry, we need that report. Yeah.